It's Friday!
Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Australia!
France!
Germany!
UK!
Africa!
Here we go! Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Or Robin. Howdy. Here we are, the first Friday on the front porch of July 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's also where you go if you would like to be part of the Merry Madcap Wacky Zany real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place here in the 3 hours in which the program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And where, well, the early arrivers have gathered, and if you pop into the chat room now, you'll be greeted by 68 AMC 343, Anatole, Jeremy in Vermont, Jessica in Minnesota. Jessica hasn't been by in a while. Hi, Jessica. Otto, Deschott, Roger in Oregon, and Squeaky are all there. And capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a wise third stage guild navigator, has elected not to fold space into the infernal man cave. He is capably assisted by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. It's terribly easy to participate in Friday on the front porch if you'd like. There's a button at the top of HeadOn.live. If you click it, and either using Skype or using a Windows 10 machine, well, you can get right into the conversation. We invite folks of long standing relationship with the Horn and new conversants to pop on by and gather around the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable that forms the basis of our weekend conversation, week-ending conversation, every Friday. Hi. I'm Robin. And, no problem. I like syllables. So, not a problem at all, 68 AMC 343. So, you know, syllables are one of my favorite things. And so here it is, the second day of June, July. Whoops, I'm trying to back the summer up. The second day of July, 2021, it is the front end of the long Independence Day holiday weekend. And I think, it looks like it's going to be awfully nice here, and that's very pleasant. I think it's going to be ribs on the smoker this weekend and try to get a little work done, you know, literally, make hay while the sun shines. No, not literally. I have no hay to make. But get crap done while the sun is shining and it's warm outside. Had a lovely afternoon today. I had errands to run, and on the way back, I stopped and wandered down a trail took a run at rephrasing a classic poem by Robert Frost, and went out to one of my favorite sitting and looking into the gorge spots. It was just beautiful. There are a couple of photos up on social media if you'd like to see them. And so I hope everybody's going to have a good Independence Day weekend. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so many, many thanks do go out to our second day of the month PayPal subscribers. And what that means is thanks indeed Rocco, thank you, Rocco, and thank you to Elizabeth, and thank you to Arthur for jumping in yesterday evening. We are our two subscribers for the second day of the month. How does that work out? Two for two. Rocco and Elizabeth, thank you very, very kindly. And Arthur took us down to $122 to meet Bruce's memorial challenge for yesterday. That means the fundraising goal is at $422. Thank you so very kindly to everybody who jumped in yesterday to get us as far as we got on that challenge. Thank you so much. And hopefully we'll knock out the entire fundraising goal this evening. And that will take a little bit of pressure off if we're not going into Monday, the 5th of July, because there will be a program on Monday, the 5th of July. Because I'll get all my Independence Day ing out of my system tomorrow and Sunday. And so I'll be here Monday evening, and I don't know how many other progressive broadcasters will be live, but I will. And I'm looking forward to that conversation. It will be, after all, a Moran Monday, and we'll have Moran stacked up like cordwood by then, of course, because that's what happens with, you know, when you've got a weekend and when you got, you know, Republicans and maggots and trumpansies and et cetera, you wind up with Moran stacked up like cordwood. Now, program note, I have an appointment on Wednesday in Beckley. And it is, unfortunately, in person, which means I will have to schlep to Beckley and then schlep home. It is slated for 3:30. Let me check again. Yeah, 3:30. So it's almost impossible that I will be back in time for the program. At least on time. I'll do everything I can to get on the air, but it's possible I won't. So that's just kind of a heads up. Just a second here. Okay, so that's most of the housekeeping. No, there is no United States Postal Service on Monday, Otto. That Monday is the official federal holiday for Independence Day, since it falls upon a Sunday. I had a note from Ron in Raleigh about a half an hour ago before the program started. And Ron noted, subject line, 4th of July. I was just listening to Frederick Douglass's 4th of July speech, and I was wondering how all the people whining about the 1619 Project and critical race theory would feel about a recitation of this speech in a high school history class, not the history many white parents want taught, I'm guessing. And I know exactly what Ron is talking about, because, well, Frederick Douglass in the 19th century...
More and more people are finding out about Frederick Douglass.
Deconstructed, to be gentle. Deconstructed the Independence Day holiday. You know, it was... And it's interesting the way things time out. He gave this speech on July the 5th, 1852. And a couple of years later, and to be fair, and Dr. Bill has done such a fantastic job of talking about this in the past, the Declaration of Independence had pretty much fallen into disuse and was little recalled by the time Lincoln was in his political prime. And I wonder the degree to which what Frederick Douglass said in 1852 may have played into Abraham Lincoln's decision to use the Declaration of Independence as a means of trying to unify the country as it faced civil war and insurrection and treason. Frederick Douglass's speech is brilliant. It is merciless in its own way. And, you know, being a speech from 1852, Frederick Douglass felt like he was under no time constraints. And said, he was so brilliant. The papers and placards say that I am to deliver a 4th of July oration. This certainly sounds large and out of the common way, for it is true that I have often had the privilege to speak in this beautiful hall, and to address many who now honor me with their presence. But neither their familiar faces nor the perfect gauge I think I have of Corinthian Hall seems to free me from embarrassment. And then he gets started. I highly encourage you to go ahead and read it. It will take some time over the holiday weekend. The Independence Day holiday isn't just about barbecuing, which I will do, but it is also a time of reflection. The degree to which the people who signed that Declaration of Independence were acting in good faith, the degree to which they were acting in their own self-interest, the degree to which they were whiny little pissants who wanted all the benefits of the protection of the British Empire and none of the obligations of helping to pay for it. I mean, that's a fact. Sorry, not trying to get all hysteristical or whatever. But then again, now I can be hysterical. Frederick Douglass says, "The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, the distance between this platform and the slave plantation from which I escaped is considerable, and the difficulties to be overcome in getting from the latter to the former are by no means slight. That I am here today is to me a matter of astonishment as well as of gratitude. You will not therefore be surprised if in what I have to say I evince no elaborate preparation nor grace my speech." Obviously he had elaborately prepared, but that was a device of mid-19th century oratory where, I really don't know what I'm going to say here. Lincoln did the same thing at Gettysburg. The world will little know nor long remember what we say here today. And, of course, it becomes one of the most known and remarked upon pieces of oration in the English language and, in fact, in history. With little experience and with less learning, I've been able to throw my thoughts hastily and imperfectly together, and trusting to your patient and generous indulgence, I will proceed to lay them before you. So he's setting them up. He's sandbagging them. You know, just like when, a Division I football powerhouse plays a Division III school, and the powerhouse coach says, "Well, you know, we're really going to have to prepare hard this week, yeah, because, any team can beat, when you tee it up, any team can beat any team. My 11 against their 11, their 11 against our 11. And, we could lose this game." When the odds makers are given like 10 million to one against them losing. It happens once in a while, but not often. And so he proceeds to deconstruct the independence impulse. "Feeling themselves harshly and unjustly treated by the home government, your fathers, like men of honesty and men of spirit, earnestly sought redress. They petitioned and remonstrated. They did so in a decorous, respectful, and loyal manner. Their conduct was wholly unexceptionable. This, however, did not answer the purpose. They saw themselves treated with sovereign indifference, coldness, and scorn. If they persevered, they were not the men to look back." And then there's references to ships at sea. And he says, "Citizens, your fathers made good that resolution. They succeeded, and today you reap the fruits of their success. The freedom gained is yours, and you therefore may properly celebrate this anniversary. The 4th of July is the first great fact in your nation's history, the very ring bolt in the chain of your yet undeveloped destiny. Pride and patriotism, not less than gratitude, prompt you to celebrate and to hold in perpetual remembrance. I said that the Declaration of Independence is the ring bolt to the chain of your nation's destiny, so indeed I regard it." High-sounding words. It wouldn't last. He lays out the history of the foundation of this country. Because after talking about the past, he says, my business, if I have any here today, is with the present. The accepted time with God and his cause is the ever-living now. Quotes a piece of poetry. Then notes, the evil that men do lives after them. The good is oft interred with their bones. The nation was 9 years away from trying to rip itself asunder because there were men, white men, who were willing to commit treason against their country and to slaughter their countrymen in order to continue holding other human beings in bondage, in chattel enslavement. Yeah, I really would love to see, Frau Ingram or Tucky Carlson or the Beckerhead or Limbaugh, if it wasn't for the fact that he's all dead, have to sit and listen to what Frederick Douglass had to say. And this may be, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care, Declaration of Independence, Gettysburg Address, JFK's inaugural, Lincoln's second inaugural. This may very well be the greatest piece of oration in American history. So yeah, do yourself a favor. Take some time this weekend amidst the flowing sweet tea, the wafting plumes of hickory smoke, the beautiful aroma of the sizzling burgers or tofu or whatever. Take a moment before the first beer is cracked and read this whole thing. It is brilliant, and it is unforgivingly brutal. So, yeah, we got that. It is disturbing as we move into this Independence Day weekend to note that the Department of Homeland Security, think of them what you will, has issued, as of yet, a report yesterday, the first day of July, a possible violent militia rally on the 4th of July in Washington, D.C. It's something called the Million Man Patriots Gathering. And according to the reporting on it, these grunting, barking, hooting, bloodthirsty maniacs are saying things like, it's past time for us to have a peaceful rally. Is it time for us to bring our toys to D.C.? And by toys, they mean their freedom protector. Wolverines! The DHS doesn't know if it's actually going to go down. There is no permit that's been issued for a million-man patriots gathering. I guess they don't want any women. It may all just be smoke and mirrors. Or maybe it's cover for something else somewhere else. We will see. But, you know, because January 6th has not been appropriately punished, and continues to be handled with kid gloves. One may wonder if they might continue to feel somewhat empowered by all of this, by the seeming somewhat quiescence of what's going on. By the way, it was, I guess maybe now the Supreme Courts are going to get the hell out of town, because they issued some rulings today about some cases they won't take. One of them, and still the other shoe has not dropped on the issue of a woman's right to manage her own reproductive system without intrusion by either government or God-botherers. God-floggers, as it were. Oh, Darlene, that's funny. I'll bet Brother Deacon Asa is going to turn positively pink with embarrassment when he sees that at the top of the page. Participate? Hey, we all make mistakes. Well, that's true. The underdog, like I said, the underdog does win once in a while. Steve in New York reminding us of that time when the Appalachian State Mountaineers, different Mountaineers, whipped that team, you know, up north. That's how the folks who are fans of the Ohio State University refer to that institution in Ann Arbor. And by the way, Kyle with a note says, if any of those white wingers had to listen to Frederick Douglass telling the truth about the founding of the nation, their heads would actually physically explode. All the more reason to make them do it. It would be Slim Whitman to a Martian. Kyle adding, nothing says freedom like a bunch of armed right wingers trying to facilitate a fascist coup. And Dave in the blind says, today is the anniversary of the ratification or the passage of the Declaration of Independence. I would remind the Horn Family Community Congregation that the only non-slaveholder in the Second Continental Congress, meaning he might have their own slaves or ever wanted slave labor, John Adams, desired that we mark this day with parades, speeches, picnics, and luminaries. They have the same and enjoyable holiday, and have a sane and enjoyable holiday weekend, everybody. Yeah, well, not sure what you mean about the only non-slaveholder in the Second Continental Congress. But he was certainly Franklin was not a slaveholder either, so it was two non-enslavers to one in the little committee that drafted the Declaration of Independence and its language about the merciless Indian savages. All right, Brother Deacon Asa says, it's swirled, fixed, you bunch of grammar Nazis, and a big laugh. I didn't realize it's been there for a week. It was there last Friday, too, says Lee in New York. Oops. What's that, Steve, in New York? That's true. Well, I don't know about how copious it will be, but Steve in New York says, this weekend I assume you will be creating ample and copious amounts of food porn, and you will post food pornographic photos. I will. Like I said, talking to Todd last night, it's going to be ribs. Going to be ribs, and I think they're going to be really, really good. I hate going to Wally World. Maybe I can find them at Kroger's or Food Lion and you know, get the original ribs and trim them myself and not pay the premium price for having somebody cut them and call them baby backs for me. That just feels too much. Baby back ribs. What kind of baby? What is this? Baby what? Baby! Yeah. And I need to think of maybe some macaroni salad for sides, maybe some potato salad, too. It all just depends on how ambitious I feel. But definitely ribs. So
I wanted to start with a couple of the things that the Supreme Court did today. Among other things, we had a little victory for common decency in this country. The Supreme Court sent a little old lady packing. Where'd that go? Yeah, there it is. Baronelle Stutzman is the little old lady. She runs a joint in Washington State called Arlene's Flowers. And in 2013, she refused to provide flowers for the wedding of a same-sex couple. And whoo-wee! The ignorantati, complicated word that, went wild. Oh, God damn it, them heathens in Washington State are going to ruin. They're going to ruin poor Baronelle Stutzman. Oh, she's going to lose her business. She's going to lose her home. She's going to lose all of her savings. She's now going to lose her life and possibly for putting her faith into practice because she's a woman of faith who believes in Jesus, who never said a damn thing about anybody in the LGBTQ community. The grunting and hooting's been going on for 8 years. Well, now that's it. It's over. The Supreme Court said, oh, do please fuck off, in as legalistic a way as they possibly could. Yeah. Because, see, here's just a brief little bit of history. When she refused service to the same-sex couple in 2013... the same-sex couple took it up with the state of Washington. And the state of Washington said, oh, come on, you know, this is so obvious. You know, this is a clear-cut case of improper and illegal discrimination here. Just settle the thing for $2,000. And her grifty... it's old tax-free, hallelujah, horrible lawyers, the Alliance Defending Freedom, said no. You'll not get a dime out of Baronelle Stutzman, for she is a Christian and has deeply held religious beliefs. So they went to trial in Washington State. And a judge there said, nah, Baronelle, Ms. Stutzman, you violated the Consumer Protection Act of the state of Washington. You also violated the Washington state law against discrimination. So we're going to fine you $1,000. We're going to fine you $1 in legal costs. Yep, that's right. You're going to have to pay $1 to the couple's lawyer. And don't you ever discriminate against anybody ever again, you hear? In other words, go and sin no more. The court almost couldn't have done any less to this poor, whiny old lady. And so then all she had to do was say, okay, I won't discriminate against people anymore. I'll obey all the laws of the state of Washington, not just the ones I like or the ones that I think are okay with the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky. But no, Baronelle Stutzman of Arlene's Flowers, she listened to the not particularly talented pettifoggers from the Alliance Defending Freedom. Funny how the Alliance Defending Freedom never defends anybody from being, like, gunned down in a grocery store or anything like that. No. There's freedom, and then there's freedom. And so, they took it up and up and up and up. And she kept losing and losing and losing and losing. Yeah. And finally, as of today, the Supreme Court of the United States, by a 6-3 margin, and that would that oddly enough is a 6-3 margin that included Brett Kavanaugh and Amy COVID Barrett. Mm-hmm. And the old Balls and Strikes John Roberts said, Baronel, you and your rotten ass lawyers, go home. And so it feels like a bit of a win. And it is a bit of a win. Because the white wing in this country, the religious maniacs, the theocrats, the Christian mullahs, were thinking this was going to build on, you know, Masterpiece Cake Shop and build on the Hobby Lobby and all of that silly horse shit, toxic garbage, and instead, the Alliance Defending Freedom goes home having spent a lot of time and a lot of effort and having been handed a goose egg. So, yay. Let's celebrate. Yeah, or not. Because, see, there's more forces. So, Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas, Sammy Bad Breath Alito, who approves of shooting fleeing black kids in the back of the head, and Ann's boy Neil Gorsuch, who thinks that black truck drivers should freeze to death in the dead of winter instead of going for help when the truck breaks down, they wanted to hear the case. And they wanted to rule in Baronel Stutzman's favor. Because they are jurisprudential hooligans. So I guess we can celebrate a little bit insofar as we haven't gotten all the way to Handmaid's Tale theocracy yet, but it's that troublesome word yet. Because as a few people have observed, they'll probably be back. Ian Millhiser, who is a court watcher and has a legal education, is good at this. He tweeted, my other thought about why SCOTUS may have denied the Arlene Flowers case is that it was an Alliance Defending Freedom case, and the Alliance Defending Freedom's lawyers are really bad and have a history of blowing these cases. If I'm Justice Amy COVID Barrett, handmaid, and want good advice on how to overrule the Smith case, I wait for a case that's been brought by the Beckett Fund. Because they're good at it. They're as good at it as the Alliance Defending Freedom is bad. And, you know, along the way, there's Matt Staver and Liberty Lobby. That's another one of those lawyer chop shop grifts. But another case will, as sure as God made little green apples, come along. Who knows? Maybe they'll involve themselves, the Beckett Fund, maybe they'll involve themselves in a potty case. Ooh, I'm sure the pettifoggers at the Beckett Fund are just chomping at the bit for that. We'll show America who goes to the potty where. But no. It's a little bit of a victory. But not quite the victory we had hoped for. But it's interesting because those three jurisprudential hooligans, well, two of the three, Slappy Thomas and Ann's boy Neil, they also dissented on a case in which the Supreme Court said, nah, when the son of a former prime minister of Albania, no, really, sued and said that several statements in a book that later became the Hollywood movie War Dogs were defamatory as to him. And Slappy and Ann's boy Neil said, nah, we should have heard this case. Because we want to rewrite, remember, remember Ann's boy Neil was appointed in the seat that should have been held already by Merrick Garland. Ann's boy Neil wanted to do the bidding of Nitwit Nero, because you may recall that over the course of the four miserable years of his maladministration, on a number of occasions, Nitwit Nero groused and hooted and barked and pissed and moaned and complained about how
we need to strengthen the libel laws so it'll be easier to sue the failing New York Times and the fake news.
And having heard his master's voice, Ann's boy Neil wanted to do his master's bidding. But the interesting thing about it is that you could take Bible law and replace it with guns, and you get the same, and it's almost the same. Oh, those two, Slappy and Ann's boy Neil. Well, Ann's boy Neil wrote, not only has the doctrine of New York Times versus Sullivan evolved into a subsidy for published falsehoods on a scale no one could have foreseen, it has come to leave far more people without redress than anyone could have predicted. Did you hear that? Okay, without the funny voice. Not only has the doctrine evolved into a subsidy for published falsehoods on a scale no one could have foreseen, it has come to leave far more people without redress than anyone could have predicted. How about that? Doesn't that just beat cats copulating? Not only has the doctrine of everybody gets a gun evolved into a subsidy for gun manufacturers on a scale no one could have foreseen, it has come to leave far more dead people without redress than anyone could have predicted. It's the same argument you would make about a culture that had nothing more complicated than cannons and muskets and hadn't even necessarily come up with the rifled barrel yet. Creating a Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms that has morphed into a monstrosity that leaves this country, our republic, our union, bathed in blood up to our eyeballs. This is the fundamental hypocrisy of an originalist. And it's revolting. New York Times versus Sullivan and its progeny, among others, Falwell v. Hustler, says that public figures have to prove conduct at a higher level than private citizens. And that you have to prove actual malice in the publication of the alleged defamatory speech. And that's how come Jerry Falwell lost. But these two jurisprudential hooligans, God alone knows. In other words, nothing and no one knows how far their theocratic maunderings would go if they could only get their way. Of course, you can also argue that the Supreme Court may very well have been saying, nah, this is not the case for that. We're going to wait for a better one. And then we're really going to fuck people. Yeah. Slappy Thomas said, earlier First Amendment cases required public figures to establish actual malice. Bears no relation to the text, history, or structure of the Constitution. The proliferation of falsehoods is and always has been a serious matter. Instead of continuing to insulate those who perpetrate lies from traditional remedies like libel suits, we should give them only the protection the First Amendment requires. And Slappy has been on a bit of a crusade. He wants New York Times versus Sullivan, and by extension, Falwell v. Hustler, overturned. And this was not the case for it. Shkelzen Berisha, an Albanian, the son of the former prime minister, didn't like things that were attributed to him in a book called Arms and the Dudes, How Three Stoners from Miami Beach Became the Most Unlikely Gun Runners in History, and later became the movie War Dogs. And it implicated Shkelzen Berisha. They pissed and moaned, his lawyers did. In 2008, it was widely reported that he was part of an arms-dealing cabal within the Albanian government involving state-owned weapons. The same cabal reportedly defrauded the U.S. government by setting up a kickback scheme through which petitioner and others profited from the sale of Albanian ammunition stockpiles needed to equip the Afghan security forces. I mean, that's what happened. And Mr. Shkelzen Berisha didn't like any of it. And the trial court said, nah, he's a limited public figure. He has to demonstrate actual malice. And so these two clowns in black robes would overturn decades of First Amendment precedent in the name of a guy who ran guns. Yeah. But the fact that they used language that they did, all about how nobody really understood that we would be entering a highly technical age with new ways of publication, in the judicial equivalent of saying of yelling at clouds and screaming, "Get off my lawn!" Gorsuch said, thanks to the revolutions in technology, today virtually anyone in this country can publish virtually anything for immediate consumption virtually anywhere in the world. I would call the word virtually overused in that sentence. But they'll never say that about a fucking gun, will they? No. Of course they won't. As going back to Baron L. Stutzman of Arlene's Flowers, Stephen, New York, says the Wikipedia entry citing the Washington Supreme Court decision, the last few lines are priceless. On February 16, 2017, the state Supreme Court unanimously ruled against Stutzman, holding that her floral arrangements do not constitute protected free speech, and that providing flowers to a same-sex wedding would not serve as an endorsement of same-sex marriage. No, all it would be, it would serve as an endorsement of the fact that Baron L. Stutzman was in the florist business and liked to make money by selling people flowers. What an idiot. Rejecting Stutzman's free exercise clause claim, Justice Cheryl Gordon McLeod wrote, "This case is no more about the access to flowers than civil rights cases were about access to sandwiches at lunch counters." Ooh, that had to sting. That is kind of priceless. Thanks, Steve. Other non-slave owners. These were the signers who did not own slaves. An incomplete list to the Declaration of Independence. John Adams, Samuel Adams, George Clymer, William Ellery, Elbridge Gerry, maybe Gary, Samuel Huntington, Thomas McKean, Robert Treat Payne, Roger Sherman, Charles Thompson, George Walton, William Williams, and James Wilson. William Williams' parents were apparently not very creative. I thought so. And by the way, no Joey's Journal this evening. Subject line, Reds game tonight. Joey says, at the Reds game tonight, on the way to Atlanta for a Warnock fundraiser tomorrow in Marietta. Or Mayretta, as it's pronounced down there. Jeffrey sends his love to the Horn community. And the love goes back to Joey and Giraffrey. At least Giraffrey won't have any problem seeing over people when they stand up and cheer if a ball heads out of the old ball orchard. Mm-hmm. Well, enjoy the game. Have a hot dog and a beer for all of us, Joey and Giraffrey. And don't forget, Frank reminds us, Frederick Douglass freed himself while facing real dangers from slavery. His life story is an inspiration to everyone. Happy Independence Day. Happy Independence Day, Frank. And a thoughtful one as well. Oh, let's see here. So we've got the Supremes out of the way. I had a story yesterday about the district court, the Trump U.S. district court judge who bounced out a stupid Talibandiana law that wanted to force doctors to tell women that they could do something that is not medically possible. Namely, reverse a medication-based abortion. Mm-hmm. Well, as usual, and I should have known, I certainly would have surmised, as usual, it turns out that when one stand state does a stupid thing, other stand states will be doing or will have done an identical stupid thing, because these stupid things spread like wildfire through the stand states. Now, the stupid law in Talibandiana had already been passed by the legislature and signed into law by whoever the maggot is who's governor of Talibandiana. But lo and behold, today, with the rejection of that stupid law in Talibandiana being fresh in the memory of the Republic, down in Louisiana stand, Democrat Governor John Bel Edwards signed into law the maggot bill passed by the maggoty Senate and the maggoty House of the state of Louisiana stand that does the same damn thing that the stupid bill that got temporarily enjoined in Talibandiana did. And it passed by overwhelming margins in the Louisiana stand legislature. John Bel Edwards, of course, although he has a D behind his name, is anti-abortion, I guess, because we've got a big tent. But, well, maybe a district court in Louisiana stand will uphold this stupid law. And what do you want to bet this might be the reasoning behind it? Louisiana stand is in a different circuit from Talibandiana. And so, with Talibandiana's law having been stricken, or enjoined at least, it hasn't lost completely at trial yet, but with it having been enjoined, maybe the thinking was, well, maybe ours won't be, and maybe ours will withstand jurisprudential scrutiny, and then we'll have a split in the circuits. And that means the Supreme Court will take it up. And, you know, who knows what happens then? Maybe Brat and Justice Handmaid Amy Coped Barrett can get the other four justices together and hold an exorcism or something. because they are, of course, wild-eyed theocrats. Despite whatever it was that they did today with regard to Baron L. Stutzman. Again, just waiting for a better case with better lawyers. It's never, things are never quite what they seem. Yeah. According to the Louisiana Stan Law, a doctor, whether in a licensed outpatient abortion facility, private medical office, or any other facility, when the drug mifepristone is administered, dispensed, or otherwise provided to a pregnant woman, they have to give a disclosure statement and staple it onto a bag, envelope, or other package that contains misoprostol for the pregnant woman to self-administer at home, because it's a two-stage process. But medical science, as was testified to in Talibandiana, says, you know, it don't even necessarily work to take a drug in between the progesterone, as a matter of fact. Take progesterone instead of the second dose, and that'll keep the baby, the little wad of tissue, viable in utero. Ugh. So we'll see if this thing gets enjoined as quickly as the one in Talibandiana did. No problems in Louisiana, because that way, because obviously they can spend all their money defending stupid lawsuits. Oh, speaking of stupid lawsuits, how about we go to Old Virginia? The Virginia Tea Party, the tea baggers of Virginia, gathered up 4,600 signatures against a senator from the Old Dominion by the name of Louise Lucas. She's been in the legislature of Virginia for a long time, and by virtue of the petition, the teabaggers of Virginia said that gave them the right to have Senator Lucas expelled. The circuit judge, the circuit court chief judge, John W. Brown, irony, in Chesapeake County, said only the state Senate can expel one of its members. There's a process for that. This is not that process. Why? Why did they do this? Because back in 2020, Senator Louise Lucas protested against a statue of a Confederate traitor in Portsmouth. Yeah. According to a report in the Washington Post, the 19th century memorial was drawing heightened scorn at a time when many monuments to the Confederacy were being taken down, whether by demonstrators opposed to racial injustice or by authorities seeking to dismantle them through official channels. Such memorials have long been viewed by many as symbols of white supremacy, but they were drawing increasing attention after George Floyd's death. Portsmouth police would later claim that Lucas was with a group of people shaking up cans of spray paint and had told officers they were going to put some paint on this thing and y'all can't arrest us. Mm-hmm. They arrested her, and it turned out they were in the wrong. The charges were dismissed, and now Senator Lucas is suing the Portsmouth police. Good on her. I hope she winds up owning the city of Portsmouth. Yeah. A lot of stupid leading up to this holiday weekend. You know, of course, that one of our favorite creeps around here, in large part because the mere mention of his name is sufficient to make Agnes hoot like a barn owl. I'm talking about J.D. Vance. Well, that little that little white grievance hustler who made a mint off of his stupid book, Appalachian Elegy, which then, for reasons passing anything resembling human understanding, Ron Howard turned into a movie with awful performances by Amy Adams and Glenn Close. Glenn Close played Meemaw. Don't watch it. Just don't. Don't. And if you do, you get to email me back and say, Jesus, Robin, that sucked. Why didn't I listen to you? Well, J.D. Vance has decided that he is not just an author and a graduate of Yale who was tutored by the Tiger Mom. By the way, the Tiger Mom has problems up at Yale now, especially given that I guess charges were levied that her husband, Tiger Dad, who taught in the law school, was kind of, well, you know, Me Too-y, gropey, rapey. Well, okay, maybe not rapey. But, yeah, disgusting and skeevy. Yeah, she's the one who mentored J.D. Vance. And now J.D. Vance is running for the Republican nomination for the Senate seat in Ohio that is being vacated by Rob Portman. And crazy as it may sound, he's got a chance. Oof. And so he's gone. If he was full maggot before, he's fuller maggot now. He's grown him a beard, I think. And a guy by the name of Tim Miller, who considers himself a conservative, and is also a never-Trumper conservative, has done a takedown of J.D. Vance that's absolutely delightful. It's hilarious. And he does a bit on YouTube called Not My Party. Give a listen.
Did Hollywood help propel a new race-baiting culture war it boy to political stardom?
And I'm not in this to lose. I'm in this to win.
This is Not My Party. Brought to you by The Bulwark. This is J.D. Vance. He looks like a cross between Elmer Fudd and three babies in a trench coat.
Well, thanks for that introduction.
And he's running for Senate in Ohio with his eyes on a future presidential bid.
Hello, other grown-up.
You may have seen his Netflix movie, Hillbilly Elegy, which was based on his critically acclaimed book.
It was lauded as a nuanced portrait of the Trump-supporting white working class that was all too often tarnished as racist or backwards.
And back then, J.D. played reviewers like a fiddle. He texted his agent saying that Trump winning would be terrible for the country, but good for book sales.
You got that right.
Everyone from Seth Meyers to Bill Gates used JD's story to help them understand this crazy species that they'd never encountered in the wild, the Trump voter.
Isn't that convenient?
Now Vance is parlaying that media success into politics, and the former Trump skeptic has taken a dark turn. These days, he's a Trump stan, and he's relying on racial resentment to reach the very voters that he was supposedly shining a more empathetic and nuanced light on. His Twitter feed has turned into kind of a Trumpian cosplay, but without any of the former tweeter-in-chief's je ne sais quoi.
Oui, oui!
Last week, JD got really upset when General Milley said,
I want to understand white rage. What is it that caused thousands of people to assault this building and try to overturn the Constitution of the United States of America? What caused that?
In response, JD rage tweeted, the conservatives you trash are disproportionately bleeding for this country. Ah, so only angry white men serve in the military. Boy, that's some subtle stuff there, bro. Wonder if the audience picked up on the dog whistle.
Racist.
In case you missed it, here he is on Tucker Carlson saying,
our cities are disgustingly violent. They're increasingly dirty. Racist.
He tweeted one video about how we don't need police reform, but harsher penalties for criminals. And another that gleefully features a, quote, visibly armed black man in a criminal standoff.
Gross.
And said it's a national embarrassment that the CIA would use phrases like woman of color and intersectional.
Bye.
He said that the U.S. should seize money from woke institutions like Harvard that are harming our nation state.
That seems kind of weird.
And let's see, all that's just from the last month. Here's the worst part about JD's new shtick. The points he's made over the years about liberal elites looking down on and ignoring the forgotten hillbillies were right. They do that. JD could have been a model for a new, more empowering kind of politics. But instead of changing the way politicians address white working class problems, he's using the same demagogic bullshit about race and crime and gays that every populist asshole has been employing since the AIDS crisis and Jim Crow. And instead of telling them the truth, he's going with his dad to Trump's conspiracy election fraud jamboree and going along with big lie BS like this.
I would love it if the American vice president showed even a little compassion for the people who are living in these terrible conditions in her own country. She was elected, or whatever, to govern this country.
Crap like that,
or whatever,
radicalizes people. And we saw the results on January 6th. Some of them are now jailed or dead, and he's doing all this because he doesn't actually give a shit about the hillbillies. He's using them because he wants to be a senator, like any other classic Yale douchebag.
That's the truth.
Hopefully this campaign will be an elegy for this terrible style of politics. See you next week for more Not My Party.
That's a damn good takedown. That's brilliant even. And it's all true. What's also true is that, well, it's, you know, forget it, Jake. It's a hire. And he's got a shot at being the nominee, which means he's got a shot at being the junior senator from Ohio. Yeah, now, that was effing brilliant, says Steve in New York. I agree. That's and hilarious. Tim Miller is his name. The name of his show is not, or his bits or videos, is called Not My Party. It's funny when Democrats, long like down south, like say long about 1980, when old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, was dog whistling white supremacy in Neshoba County, Mississippi, and the cranky old white people wanted to vote Republican. They said, I didn't leave the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party left me. And then they left the Democratic Party. And that's how the South became a Republican stronghold. But on the other hand, you got folks like Tim Miller here, who says, it's not my party, but apparently is still a conservative. And I guess sees something worth saving in the Republican Party? I don't know. J.D. Vance says Flavio says J.D. Vance, the grifter, is furiously deleting previous anti-Trump tweets, forgetting that tweets are forever and cannot be deleted. The Internet archives them. Yeah. Well, good. I hope, as Shakespeare said, they hang about his neck like a new wife. And Steve says, I'm going to nominate that guy for a cowbell. Fair enough. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. I thought y'all would get a kick out of that. Oh, let's see here. We are at the top, or just slightly past the top of the hour. And it's time to get the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable conversation going. And I'm hoping that that was the correct connection. We shall shortly see. By the way, we have $422 to raise this evening. We have $122 remaining in the challenge for Bruce's Memorial Challenge. It happens the first program of every month, and we didn't quite get done with it yesterday. And then we got $300 to do today, so that maybe come July the 5th, Monday, we won't be in some great big whopping gigantic hole. Okie doke. Okay, that was a mistake. Okay, so I am now hanging up. Let's see here. I was afraid that would be the case. Okay, let's see. But anyway, if we could knock that $422 out, it would be tremendously helpful and mean that there was a little less sweat and worry over the weekend. So, you know, I know, we had a hole that we were finishing. I know. So, thanks in advance. Not J.D. Vance. See what I did there? Mm-hmm. Hey, Sparky, how's it going? Anybody? Yeah?
Can you hear me now?
There, I hear you now, Sparky. How are you?
Oh, jeez. Skype muted me. I got a mute button on my microphone, but Skype muted me for some reason.
Oh, goody. Artificial intelligence.
Anyway, I'm sitting in the house again, staying out of the heat.
Grady there with you?
Oh, yeah, he's right over here and on the floor laying on his bed. He screwed up a while ago when the delivery guy rang the doorbell.
He screwed up his bed? I'm a little...
Well, he jumped out of the bed and the bed spun around. It's not where it's supposed to be.
Eager boy.
He does that sometimes. When I'm out of the room, he'll move his bed around, piss me off.
You know, I saw something at the Wiggling Pig yesterday, and I thought immediately of you, Sparky, because I never see them around here. And we've talked about it in the past, but lo and behold, I saw a tri-tip in the grocery store. And I might add that to the repertoire for Independence Day cookery. But it was
they're popular here, you know.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I never see them here. But
I haven't done one in a long time.
So smoke it low and slow.
Go ahead, give it a try.
It comes pre-marinated, so that might be a little sketchy. But why the hell not, huh?
Oh, it's one of those kind.
Yeah, vacuum sealed, marinade already on it.
Yeah. The butcher shop here used to be down the road. They moved. I don't go there anymore.
Was that the folks with the ghost pepper cheese?
Yeah, they moved to a bigger location uptown. And I get everything delivered now, so out of convenience.
Well, I'll let you know. I think I'm definitely going to do that, assuming everybody hasn't bought them up. But I'll let you know how it plays out.
Yeah,
that should be fun.
Most of the time, we would grill them with an open on the Weber kettle.
So just, I mean, over direct heat.
Yeah.
Kind of treat it like a steak, then.
Yeah, that's the way we did it. We also did one in my smoker one time too.
How long did that take you?
I forget what I set it for. And what temperature and all that stuff. Been so long since I haven't used that smoker since my stepson passed away.
Sorry about that.
In fact, I'm trying to give it away. To my minion, he likes to cook, and he said he'd take it.
Oh, how sweet! Oh, there's Billable. There's yeah. Billable Rick with the video on. Hi, Billable.
Yeah. He's showing us he's billing.
Are you doing billable stuff today?
Always. Yeah, always. Yep. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, let me pop over and check in with Brother Bishop Steve. He said he had something for us early in the program.
Robin, what's going on, man?
Steve, what's happening, brother?
I just wanted to chime in. Give me a minute here. Yesterday's show was epic. It really was.
Well, thank
you. If anybody didn't catch it, I think you should go back and re-hit the podcast. It was just clicking. Salinar Lamar, he always is a great call, but yesterday he was on fire, man. Randy Radar, great call. Of course, Todd is always a great call. But the pinnacle of it for me was, and even chat was great. I mean, Irish Dave was hitting on all cylinders, cracking everybody up. It was fun, good time had by all. But the pinnacle was, Karen came home right around the time that Todd came on. She was drinking Gatorade. I was drinking peppermint tea. And you were, Todd, were talking about, let's change the name of Washington Journal. And right off the hip, you said, let's change it to, this is how fucked up we really are. And Karen and I lost it. I mean, peppermint tea went spraying one way. Gatorade went spraying the other way. And poor little Cletus is in the middle. She got drowned, man.
Oh, poor baby.
That was just hilarious. Which brings me to my point. I'm going to donate $10, but I would like to try something. I'll double that to $20 if we can do like a Letterman thing. Let's change Washington Journal. If I can get 10 individuals to email you at bobkincaid@horn.com.
bobkincaid@gmail.com.
Gmail.com, yeah. And come up with a name for Washington Journal, and I'll double that to 20.
Okay, so we need 10 people with 10 ideas for the new name for Washington Journal. Email it to bobkincaid@gmail.com, and when that comes in, you, Steve, and Miss Karen and little Cletus will take the fund. Will take Bruce's memorial challenge down to only $102.
Double that to 20. And Karen started it off. Well, of course, you started it off. But this is how fucked up we really are. We just both thought that was hysterical because we suffered through that, and then she come up with "Stupid R Us." So there's that.
Okay. Stupid R Us.
So I just thought I'd throw that out there, maybe have a little fun with it, and kind of a Letterman thing, and do a top 10 new names
top
for
10 new
Journal.
Names for Washington Journal. Yes.
Hey, Steve, Washington I got Journal. One. Hi, everybody. Happy Friday.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
How about Uncle Adolph's Journal?
That'll work.
Maggot Manifesto.
That works. That works really good.
That just, get off my lawn, kid.
Hell, this may not require. No, don't not email just because we're freeforming here.
Yeah, the more the merrier. But yeah, that just hit us so hard because we suffer through that show every day. Her on her way to work, and I listen to it. And when you said this is how fucked up we really are, that was just from the hip, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, that's just me and Todd riffing.
It's just, oh man, liquids went flying, man. We lost it, and poor little Cletus was in the crossfire.
That's just sad. I mean, did Cletus get a? I mean, after the bath, did Cletus get a bath?
Yeah, but no, she got a bath, and she's still friends with you. She realizes it's not your fault, you know.
Did she get a treat at least for her pain?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
It's amazing how forgiving they are, right, Steve?
Yeah, she's snake-eyed us, you know.
Snake-eyed by little Cletus.
What the hell is that? Yeah.
Okay, they're coming in. They're coming in. Both Steve and in New York and Brendan both suggest Washington Urinal.
Wow, that's perfect.
That's perfect. I knew we could have some fun with this.
Randy Radar says, dumb like me. That's good. So that's 1, 2, 3. 4, Matt in San Francisco, musings of morons. Yeah, that's a good
Not
one.
Bad.
Oh, I think we're on to something here, Steve. This is a little bit of genius on your part.
Well, thank you. I thought.
And Jeremy jumped in and said, "Steve's 20 is now 40, so now we are down to $82 to go on Bruce's Memorial Challenge." So thank you for that, Jeremy. Wait, more. Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, "Washington Journal's new name shall be What Are You Smoking Journal." But we now, courtesy of Arnold in PA, we now have 3 votes for Washington Urinal. So, you know, keep those cards and letters coming.
Hey, Steve, you're going to have to find out who Pedro's producer is so we can send them the list.
According to Todd, Pedro was ready to knife somebody yesterday.
Pedro with the razor in his shoe. In the conservatory.
Looking
he's
to
clown.
Slice some maggots. Yeah.
But the whole show is just epic. Everything about it just clicked. One of my favorites.
I'm so glad that that just makes my heart happy when I hear things like that. So I see in the chat you took the day off today, Steve.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Bob. I didn't know you were talking to me. I'm making my donation. Yeah, I did. Finally. I've been working 6 days a week for the last two or ever since COVID broke. I don't want to say broke, but we made rounded the curve and people started getting out doing idiotic things. Yeah, I've been working 6 days a week. So I said, screw it. I'm taking a long holiday.
I think that's a good idea.
But that's all I had. I just wanted to throw that out there so you can bring other folks.
That's all? That's awesome is what that is.
Well, thanks.
So,
you're awesome, ma'am.
Well, thank you very kindly. What else? Anybody?
Well, no, I just had a legal question. If the Trump Corporation converts all of their assets to Donnie Jr.'s cocaine stash, would they be able to hide behind that?
I don't know. You know, maybe Merrick Garland would defend him.
Probably.
I have a question. Has anybody in the on the horn or anybody experienced 115 degree temperature? I experienced that on Monday here in Portland, Oregon,
and yes, I couldn't. Sir. I was right there with you.
Yeah,
you
man.
Company.
You go outside for 20 seconds, and it's like all of a sudden you're just sweating like crazy. And there's
I
an article.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say I have a black lab, right? I had to constantly drench her with a cold, wet towel for three days straight. Yeah. I was suffering, but she was suffering worse than
me. My cat was sleeping under my truck, and, you know, in the shade, it was still like 112 degrees, and I couldn't believe it. I was really worried about the cat would get dehydrated. I tried to bring her in, but she's like, so I said, oh, screw it. Okay, cat, it's been nice knowing you.
Man, the birds were chirping like crazy. They didn't like it. And I heard there were crows really suffering hard, and I don't know what the wildlife was doing. I mean, I live 2 blocks from the Willamette, right?
Uh-huh.
So I figure most of the animals probably jumped into the river if they could.
Yeah, they could. Well, read about Lytton, British Columbia, 121 degrees on Monday. The whole town went up in smoke. The whole town burned down. It's just like it's totally devastating. But when that smoke gets in the upper stratosphere, you get electric storms, and so it fired up a lot of the forests around that area, and it was a huge amount of acreage that got torched. It's frightening. It's just totally scary.
Well, and you know, I hate to welcome to the new normal.
Yep,
we got fires all over the place in California going on.
Oh, no, Sparky.
Yeah, and there's a drought in California.
This isn't going away. This is permanent. We've been warned for 40 years this is going to happen. It's going to keep getting worse. It was only going to stop if we stopped back then.
Hey, Jeremy, I got a great idea. I just got struck by a great idea. What do you say we take the CEOs of all the hydrocarbon companies and move them to Lytton, British Columbia, and put them and put them in Jenny Lynn, vinyl sided houses with no air conditioning, and then invite them to hold a press conference telling us how climate change ain't real.
The Democrat hoax.
Well, they survive it, though, because 140 people died there.
Oh, I know. That's kind of the point.
400 across America died.
Yeah, Jeremy, if I hear in the for-profit media, any of the talking heads on there start talking about a once-every 500-year flood or, you know, a weather event, I'm going to shoot the TV because... There's
go
no
and
more
get,
such thing.
Go and get me a peanut butter and banana sandwich and the Elvis gun. I'm going to shoot the TV.
Mm-hmm. You know, and nothing. We're all thinking it. For the sake of the families down in that city in my around Miami, Clearwater, whatever it is, they should just call it a recovery opportunity at this point, because if a hurricane hits that fucking building, it's going to fall over and there's nothing they can do to protect that pile.
Well, that was the thing. I've been thinking about this a lot. And it occurs to me that the horror that there are people, my God, who have family, friends, loved ones, still unaccounted for and likely dead. But the whole nation is watching because there's an aspect of it that doesn't attach to hurricanes and tornadoes and the like, because there are parts of the country that don't have hurricanes and tornadoes. There are parts of the country that are not prone to massive forest fires. But this is for the most part a man-made disaster. And so just like in ancient Greece, the people would sit and experience vicarious horror through things like Sophocles's Oedipus Rex. Well, now the nation's watching, and it's not a play, it's real. And I think there's this existential horror that's gripping the nation. And, of course, the news media aren't helping. But
if it bleeds, it leads.
Absolutely, Sparky. And so when you see, like, what I heard yesterday, that one structural engineer, whoever it was, says, hey, the only thing holding up the rest of the building is the pile of debris. Shit.
Yeah, Robin, what's that Les Nunez quote that you always say? You know, if Trump was good for...
Les Moonves? Yeah. Trump may not be good for America, but he's great for CBS. Which is the same thing J.D. Vance said. May not be good for America, but he's great for me.
And it's the same thing you could say about hundreds of people under a pile of debris. Well, it's bad for them and their families, but it's good for CBS.
It's great for CNN. It's great for Fox News.
Hey, Bob.
I mean, for God's sake, they had a lady on last night on one of the news shows that had a camera that they could find boys in the building. And they asked her straight out, and she was very careful. She answered, have you found boys? She said, yes, we found boys that are maybe a foot big, but mostly inches. They're all dead. Just get over it. It's horrible.
Yeah, and as Randy Radar points out, the Florida condo story is never going away because they killed rich people.
Well, there's that.
Oh, there's that. But also, DeSantis doesn't want Trump in Florida having any kind of rally or... spectacle, but it's rumored that he's going to do something on the 3rd, some kind of campaign thing, and DeSantis is telling him, no, we need to concentrate on this disaster. And when you have DeSantis telling the ex-president to stay away, you know something's bad.
Trump says, no, it's okay, we're collecting money.
Yeah, it's bad.
He's doing a benefit show Is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Trying to drum up his base, which he's losing. He lost. A lot of people left his Ohio rally last week. Or was it Saturday?
There was video of that.
Yeah, there's a video of that, and it's like people going, "Oh, where's my car now?"
Hello, Robin.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Robin.
Yeah, Jessica. I'm here.
Is that you talking to me?
I thought it was.
It is not, Jessica.
Oh, sorry.
Don from BC.
Oh, hey, Don. Hey, Don. Sorry.
Hi. Just a couple of quick things. One, they're saying that it's not a good thing to say this is the new normal because we're actually in progress towards the new normal. What's now is going to get worse before it gets better. And the second thing is I'm talking to you on a Mac OS, so you don't need Windows 10 or 11 or 25 to make this thing work. It works on Mac software as well.
Well, I mean, it works if you go straight through Skype.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you don't even have to have Skype if you're running Windows 10.
Nope, that's right.
But you can run Linux Mint and run Skype, and I'm on Linux Mint right now, the latest 2004.
I don't have Skype, and it's working off my Mac OS.
Hmm. Huh. That's odd. Okay.
Yep. I haven't tried it with my iPhone, but it works with my MacBook Pro.
I'll be darned. That's a good thing to know.
Yeah, I just thought.
I get the point you make about it's not the new normal. The new normal is going to be much worse.
Yes.
This is just the new awful.
That's right. And hang on to your shorts because it gets better after this.
So I mean, I read somewhere that like only 30% of people in Seattle have air conditioning. How low does the number get when you get up to where you are, Don?
Oh, they're saying only about 10% of the people up here have AC, and you normally have to work in a big building or a new house to have air conditioning if you install it.
Well, did you hear the death toll for BC was 465? Oregon has like 71.
Almost 500 in
almost 500,
Vancouver
yeah.
itself, never mind the rest of the province.
Oh, wow.
And we never normally get anywhere close to 40. And we had 3 or 4 days here when it was plus 38, plus 39 degrees. Mm-hmm. Just ugly. And they were actually saying that it was hotter in Lytton for a day or two than it has ever been in Vegas.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Just to put
probably hotter than where Rush Limbaugh's hanging out now.
Well, you know, pretty damn close.
Do you have an update on his health, by the way, Robin?
I heard recently that he is slowly developing a taste for pineapple.
the business side or the reverse side?
Well, necessarily it's the reverse end. He's getting his eternal daily requirement of roughage, and I do mean rough.
You know, it's actually possible to be. It's actually possible to be fed from that end if you're in surgery and having troubles taking things the regular way. So it might not be as impractical as you'd like to think it is.
There was a South Park episode.
They tried to, President James A. Garfield was being medically malpracticed upon, and you know, he wasn't assassinated by the guy with the gun, he was killed by his doctors. They tried feeding him that way, and it did not work. The quackery, but then again, that's, you know, late 19th, early 20th century quackery, so it's... You know.
Well, they tried that on the Guantanamo prisoners as well, Robin.
Yeah, absolutely right, Rick.
You know, led by Rummy.
So what did Garfield die of? Blood poisoning?
Medical neglect. He died of medical experimentation. Wait, we got to go back to our top 10, which is growing. Ralph suggests Pedro's murder spree. this is mine. Pedro's morning migraine.
That's nice.
Pedro's rot gut tequila party.
That's great. Boy, these are all really good.
Yeah, Arthur says, rename it. How come C-SPAN took down the swastika from Washington Journal, liberal bias? Let's see here. I got more. Dave in the Blind says, rename it. I used to be a Democrat, but I know an idiot.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that.
Let's see. I'll have to get into that in a minute, Jack. By the way, Brendan said, out here in Hillsboro, Oregon, some miles away from Portland, we had a reading of 116.
I saw that.
Jesus.
It's not too far from here. Yeah, it's a bit west.
And, okay, so just to put things in perspective, because I was about to make mention of the same location, Stephen New York points out, Lytton, British Columbia, was only 7 degrees lower. There was a dot in there. Steve says, I saw Lytton, B.C. was only 7 degrees lower than Death Valley.
It's ridiculous.
And, you know, where's Jim Snowball Inhofe saying, the guy who brought a snowball to the well of the Senate in the middle of a snowstorm in Washington, D.C. to prove climate change wasn't real. Well, sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. I don't know. Bring in a couple of corpses, Jim Inhofe, to prove that climate change isn't real when it's 120 degrees in British Columbia.
Well, you know, science is fake news. So
it's the fakest fake news.
It's the fakest fake news because those are all numbers, and that's by a bunch of intellectual types who are woke, you know?
Yeah, it's that wokeness. And that 1619 Project critical race theory. Yeah. I don't know. Ralph said, how many names are you up to? I think we're past 10 now. So it wasn't 7 degrees. The dot was right. Steve just corrected me. Lytton, British Columbia was only 7/10 of a degree cooler than Death Valley. That's even worse.
Oh, man. The highest temperature in Death Valley was 143 degrees Fahrenheit in the 1920s. But that's what I fear, is that we start getting up to 130 degrees, like here in Portland, Oregon, with a heat dome. But I've heard that it's the jet stream is a big mess. It's out of sorts, you know. We had a snowfall in February, and we never get snow in mid-February.
Well, remember the jet stream being out of whack is what killed off a bunch of Texans in the dead of winter.
Mr. Bertabo's joined us,
Robin. Oh, is Brother John with us?
That 140 degrees in Death Valley was a questionable one back in the early 20s.
Hey, Roger.
Yes, hello. I am.
Texas had more below 0 days than Vermont half this year.
Yeah.
Robbie, you know, I saw it was pretty hot down here today. You know, and today being Beer and Bud Friday, got to do the show, right? And preferably, the Blue Dot family likes for me to do my rant in my shop for Beer and Bud Friday, right?
Right.
Right. So, Mama says it's too hot. You're going to sweat death out there. So, I air conditioned my shop today.
You did. Good job, Tom.
Sort of. I went outside and I took a picture of the shop and came in here and gave it to my son. He threw it on the computer and threw it on the screen.
That's cheating. That's cheating.
It is cheating. I fessed up to it. I told him. I said, I'm in here in nice air condition. It's just, but it was that I told him the picture was taken minutes ago. So that's what my shop looks like right now, except it's a lot hotter. Robin, how are you doing? I saw you out strolling on the path, baby.
Oh, you know, I get those little this time of year, I love to get those little mental health walks in, and
that's good.
And you know, I for some reason or another, that old poem by Robert Frost just popped into my head, and then I had a rewrite.
Outstanding, well written.
Thank you.
Very well written. My wife said, "Did he write that?" Hey, Robert Frost wrote that. I said, no, Robert Frost wrote the first line.
Robert Frost wrote, Robert Frost wrote Stopping by the Woods on a Snowy Evening. And so I changed it to strolling through the woods on a perfect afternoon.
There you go. There you go.
But I did. I did. I really loved that those first couple of lines. I was proud of the, and that's how the whole thing started. Because
take care of yourself.
Yeah, whose woods these are? I think I know. They're taking tourists down the river, though.
Yeah, that's when I knew it wasn't Robert Frost. there's the big hit. I'm not well read, Robin. I fess up. I'm not as well read as I should be. But I knew that Robert Frost wasn't talking about people floating down the river, tourists anyway.
Hey, John, I heard you have a whole bunch of folks from South Dakota coming to
indeed we do. Oh man, South Dakota, are you shitting me?
Wait, are they coming down for the Blue Dot family meeting?
Oh yeah, they're coming down for a meeting, all right. I have a list of them here. They're from all over the freaking place. Damn it.
Well, they're getting paid by a campaign donation for Christy Gnome. How do you pronounce her last name? Yeah. So it's
Christy Gnome or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. And a billionaire, Trump supporter billionaire, is helping it with the labor as well. It's insane. You know what?
I had
it. So what are they going to do? Just come down, John, and start.
They're protecting the border, baby. They're protecting the border. You know, they got to.
Against Barack Obama's blue-helmeted UN NATO forces?
Well, no. Of course, it's all them marauding MS-13 father rapers, bloodthirsty with the knife in the teeth and the blood, all that stuff.
ISIS. Yeah, the ISIS black, the ISIS yeah. Antifa, Black yeah. Lives Matter, Rosicrucian Illuminatis.
But we have like about 10 states that have sent troops down there for this. It's theater.
Yeah.
And South Dakota's got a private donor. I had his name written down
from
here
Tennessee.
Yes, but, from Tennessee. I had a damn list. What day did I win about that?
What's sad about this is that we've ruined Central America. United States government through CIA. It started with Guatemala and the National Fruit Company. Oh, we got rid of the socialists down there.
We have National Guard. I'm sorry.
No, but we ruined Central America. We turned those states into junta states, you know, and now we got this problem. I forget which country was the last country to go fascist. I think it was Honduras or something.
Honduras, there was a coup, and we turned a blind eye to it. And that was Hillary, by the way.
That was Guatemala.
Oh, sorry, that was Guatemala? Okay. Mm. Well, there is a fascist in charge of Honduras, too.
Yeah. Oh, the whole place is a hot mess. It was the experiences that he had in Central America that led General Smedley Butler to write War is a Racket. You know, he said straight up, you know, I'm an officer in the United States Marine Corps, but what I did in Central America was the fact I was an enforcer for United Fruit.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But, hey, John, if you do happen to run into a few of those folks, just have your honeydew list ready and tell them to meet you over on the property and put them to work.
No shit. Y'all are here. Hey, you know, this used to be the border.
Build the fence here. Yeah.
That my river behind my house, that used to be the border. You know, it's a border. It used to be a border. So, you know, clean up the border there.
Yeah.
You know, it needs a new dock, too, by the way. Hell no. We got troops from South Dakota, Idaho, Florida, Arkansas, Iowa, Nebraska, and they're all down here protecting the garden, along with the who are they? And get this, because there seems to be a theme here: the Guardian Patriots.
Great.
Yeah, and the United Constitutional Patriots.
John, do you feel safer now though?
I'm so comfortable now. Are you shitting me? These bunch of idiots running around down here, and it's all. Boy, howdy shit. What was that?
I don't know. I think an angel just got its wings.
Somebody's making a donation.
My camera just fell. Oh, well, I'm not on camera now anyway. We'll pick it up later. It won't be moving.
Oh, and by the way, I need to thank Otto. Hey, Otto, thank you for jumping in. We're $72 to being done. There's 72 more matching dollars, and then we got $300 to go to finish to be even through the first 2 days of July.
So about $370-something.
$372.
We have a calling out there, baby. $372. That's not squat for a stepper. That's not a step for a stepper. There are enough Horn family members listening right now that could pitch in and take care of that bill real quick. The bills have to be paid or Robin's voice isn't on the air. That's all there is to it. Y'all got to remember that. It's humbling to have to ask for donations.
It is.
But please, please, if it's within your budget and you have a few dollars to spare, hit that button and send it to Robin. That's how we keep this progressive voice on the air, baby. So please, do that. Do it several times, as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
it'll make you feel good. Do it once and all of a sudden do it again.
It does. And, you know, John, you mentioned your Blue Dot gathering, and I think this would be a nice... I'm going to make it official. But we're going to do the horn in, and, you know, June's over, and if we do it when I want to do it, we are almost exactly 11 months away from when I want to do the horn in here in Fayette County.
Right.
And I'm just going to, instead of putting up a whole new page or anything, we're going to use the GoFundMe page.
Right.
And I know it's a steep number, but it's, you know, a weekend of all your eats.
Festivities,
all your eats, musical entertainment. We'll do a Friday on the front porch, on a real front porch.
You can't beat this shit.
And so here's the deal. Either single or double occupancy, $1,000.
There you go.
And just use the GoFundMe page over at GoFundBob.com. That'll take you right to the GoFundMe page. And I'm going to open it because, see, here's the deal. It's not a deal, but this is how it works out. What I'm trying to do is finish off my oral surgery.
Right.
And there's about...
And that would be preferable to have done soon.
Yeah, well, they all the healing up will be done by September, and they'll start, you know, sinking the lag bolts in my jaw. Ooh, fun.
Doesn't that sound wonderful?
Yeah, counter-sinking lag bolts in my jawbone.
Yeah.
And we can get biblical about it. It's the jawbone of an ass.
Just bite this bullet.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Jawbone of an ass. I was proud of that one. As fundraiser goes, this is not the most efficient one in the world because I've already run all the numbers. The costs on everything will be about out of everybody who jumps in on this thing to the tune of a grand. It'll about $500 of that'll be will be eaten up in the festivities. So yeah. I'm going to open it up because there's certainly space to do it. And I can cook that much food. I'm going to say 50 folks. And we'll have, I'll try to have some special guests. I've told, long ago I told Mike that when we do it, I'll make space for him and his family. The same thing goes for you, John Bredevoe. And, well,
thank you.
And, you know, all you got to do is get here. You know, transportation is not included in all of this.
Yeah.
I will put up a post at the GoFundMe page, and we'll see. You know, I'd love to have 50 people because that would mean that we can take care of all the oral surgery stuff and all the stuff that goes with me being off the air. Because you know, we made it roughly halfway on the original goal, and that went toward keeping everything okay. When I had the first one done, I got back on the air pretty quick, but I went ahead and paid ahead on some things and tried to make sure everything was okay. So that's the plan. And we're talking, you know, we'll work on if we can get enough people, if we can get enough people to do this, then
are you shitting me?
We'll put together, we'll work on the menu. You know, Todd is always talking about my trifold pork loins. We can do that. We can do ribs. We can do brisket. We can do chicken. Well, depends on who you're talking to.
There's rumors about your butt, Robin.
Some of them are true. Some of them are true.
Some of them are true. So, well, there you go. See? Who wouldn't want to travel to see Robin's butt?
Yeah, well, and smell it. Bucks. And smell it.
And smell it.
And taste it.
And indeed. So,
you know, the homemade
the money? Hell yeah.
Homemade hot slaw, fried catfish, homemade tartar sauce, brisket, shit. Chicken, turkey, pork loin. Yeah, who knows? And just, you know, have a massive, just have a massive feed. And by the way, the other thing that goes with this is that I have been, haven't been talking about it on the program because you didn't want to ruin it or anything, but I'm putting together a book. And so everybody will get a first run copy of the book. It has a working title, not going to give that out. I like it because again, it kind of partakes of a title from I love Robert Frost. And it partakes of a title from Robert Frost. And it's got multiple layers of meaning. So we'll take, you know, I don't publish everything that I write. And we will, it'll be primarily a book of photographs and poetry. Some essays and the like. But, you know, folks get in here on a Thursday evening. Then we'll have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and a getaway on Monday, depending on how people's work schedules go. And it will be a sure enough blast. I know some great musicians around here that I'm likely get to play for us. There's some places we can go and hang out for a couple of dinners. And the best part of it all is, as this past June proved, that particular weekend every year can be counted upon to be something approaching perfect. So what we are talking about is exactly 11 months from today is the second day of June 2022. And so the Thursday is the get-in night, and then the third, the fourth is a Saturday. We'll have some, we'll have all our big doings on the Saturday. And it will not rain. It will not rain. It will probably be something approaching perfect.
Guaranteed. Got inside track on that shit.
Yeah. I mean, this is empirical data for a long damn time. Oh, hell yes.
I love it.
Bring some pepper paste. I want to know. That just sounds so... Did you hear Roger talking about his pepper paste, John Brittle? No,
but all you have to do is say pepper paste. What? I'm already in.
Right
I'm
there.
In there.
Yeah.
Right there. Don't have to go any farther. We're past the jar.
So... It'll be a huge good time, and I think you know, this is a case of literally the more the merrier, and all I can say is, you know, let's run it up the flagpole and see if anybody wants to come play.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing with the Blue Dot family. We put it out there. Let's see how many people are going to respond. It sounds like a great time. That sounds what you just described. Is just an outstanding party. Who wouldn't want to come to that, to the Horn Inn?
Oh, it will be.
Get all horned up and all that stuff.
And we got some great little local establishments that have huge selections of craft beer on tap. A couple of hard liquor type establishments. You know, real bars. Not near enough, but we got a couple of great breweries in town that are a lot of fun. And it's just a happening fun place, and I'll talk with my friends, and we'll try to have an evening, I don't know, maybe karaoke, DJ, dance party, something like that.
There you go.
And I think it
have a few beers and step up to the mic, baby.
Damn straight.
There you go. Let it hang out.
You have not lived until you have heard me karaoke Jimmy Buffett's "Why Don't We Get Drunk and Screw."
Why don't we get drunk and screw? Yeah, I'm familiar with that song.
They say you are a snuff queen, honey. I don't think that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, shit you. Are you shitting me, a little Buffett?
So you'll put that out, it'll stay out on the GoFundMe?
Well, I have not put up a post, but I mean, that's the way it's going to work. And, you know, we'll cross our fingers and hope everything works out. you know, the motel is the motel around here, and we'll just, you know, we'll book the damn motel. And for those who smoke, here's the thing.
Hey.
This is a motel where you can still get a room that you can smoke a cigarette in.
Oh, my God. Oh,
they've got a few cigarette smoking rooms.
Yeah. That's all?
Just well, you know, let's just keep the rest of it on the down low, John.
Oh, yeah. Cavendish. I have a nice medical pipe with Cavendish.
You have medical in West Virginia, right, Robin?
Theoretically. I have not. I've not experienced that for myself.
Okay.
I'm kind of... Go ahead.
Excuse me. Did you take any medication to get off nicotine? Because I'm trying to quit cannabis, and I'm on a form of Wellbutrin, and I'm three weeks sober now.
No, I did not. I did not take any pharmaceuticals. I don't want to ruin it for you, but I was personally scared of Wellbutrin, and okay. I didn't know what it would do to my thought processes, and I did not want to run the risk of damaging the program any more than it already is. So I am the 15th of this month, I am 10 months cigarette free, but now I have to take the next step and get nicotine free. So I'm going to have to cold turkey these little 2 milligram pouches.
I love those pouches, Robin. That's what I've been trying to use. Now I'm waffling back and forth, but I've always got those pouches around and they do help.
Oh, I put the first one in my mouth, and I haven't touched a cigarette. I haven't even had a cigarette in my mouth since.
Oh, that's cool.
But the thing is, because of the other, and my favorite, this is an unpaid product placement, my favorite is the On brand in the 2 milligram cinnamon. But they also make a coffee flavor that's great in the morning. If you're used to smoking a cigarette with your first cup of coffee, that coffee nicotine pouch is everything. With your first cup of coffee.
Really?
That's a good idea.
Yeah. But I got to get free of those because there's another thing that's in my future, and I don't know how soon, and that is some surgery. And the one thing they told me is it will not happen if there is so much as a micron of nicotine in your system, because things like skin grafts don't take as well if nicotine is present in your system, and it's got to be out of your system for at least 2 months. So here soon, I'm going to be, you know, trying to just get over the nicotine Jones. But you know, the way you do that is you just drink a shit ton of water. And I'm already, God, I think I'm probably drinking a gallon and a half of water a day. And it's wonderful because, you know, you get out in this warm Appalachian sun. And ice water is better than any beverage on earth. I mean, I say that in all sincerity. You know, Agnes is like, you know, why don't you drink a little sugar-free Gatorade? And I'm like, no. You know, if I have to have some electrolytes, I'll drink some pickle juice. Or kraut juice. God, I love kraut juice. Heaven.
Kraut juice.
I took a taste of the ferment juice from those yellow peppers. And I thought about you, but I...
Oh, you broke up, Roger.
I said that I thought about sending you some of the ferment juice from the pickled peppers when I drained them off, but I couldn't really figure out how to get it to you because I really didn't want to pay the postage on quart jars of...
No, that's a little...
Juice.
That's a little outrageous. Besides, gotta have something to look forward to. God, that would be good, though. Is it nice and fiery?
Yeah, I had an iced teaspoon and took one iced teaspoon of it and sort of wished I hadn't.
Whoo! You hear that, John Bredevo?
Yes, I did.
You'd stick a straw in it, wouldn't you, John?
I would. Ain't that the way you should be drinking it?
Yeah, I guess it is.
Well, you wouldn't need a match to light your pipe.
Spark it right up. I like it hot, baby. I do. I like everything I have.
That just sounded, have that on some, or that ferment juice, my God. Save that and put a little bit of that on some turnip greens or some collards or some kale. Oh! A little dribble of it and some brown beans with some cornbread. Shoot me.
What kind of show are you running here, Robin? talking about butts again and things biting back. For Christ's sake, it's a family show.
Who told you that?
They lied to you.
That's bad.
Well, it's the Horn family values, baby.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to the shiny hiney yet.
Really? Really? So.
Oh, but I got good news. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy, for jumping in. You got us down to 62. Stephen came along, got us done with Bruce's Memorial Challenge, and got us $38 on the way to finishing today. So that gets us down to $72. And then Mark in Florida came along and got us, let's see, that would be 272, got us down to 172. So there's $172 remaining to finish the first 2 days of July even. Okay. And Mark's note says, fighting fascism on Friday's front porch with Union Bucks. Hear, Mark. Go, thank baby. You so very much.
Outstanding, Mark. Outstanding.
That's fan-freaking-tastic. Thank you so much, Mark. Is, so we got $172 to go, and that'll finish, and we'll, that means we'll be good all the way up to the... Oh, by the way, you going to do a show on Monday, John?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, no. No, I won't be doing the show on Monday. Sunday.
You're going to do a show on Sunday?
Yeah. John? Yeah, I just recently, after missing 3 Mondays in a row due to just time constraints, trying to get home and all that, I decided, yeah, I'm going to take Saturday and Mondays off. So I do a show every day except Saturday and Monday now.
Okay, well, I was thinking maybe we'll do a Moran Monday front porch, since it's an official federal holiday, and maybe we'll gather together on Monday.
Well, I might just wander by and grab up a chair.
I think you should.
I ain't got no show to do.
No. You might even have some. You might even have some Morans saved up, John.
Hey, we got some Morans down here. Let me tell you, we're loaded with them. My congressman, are you shitting me? Today, my main meat of the show was concentrated around a guy named Anthony Aguero. He's a YouTuber who was at the Capitol on January 6th, inside bragging and hooting and hollering and shit. He put on he escorted live on his YouTube channel a group of congressmen down in La Jolla, Texas, down there by the border, trying to point out where all the, you know, marauding killers are coming across the
Illuminati border. Fascist,
right?
Yeah, communist Rosicrucian.
It was. Let me see. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 congressmen in this
MS-13,
group.
MS-13, Al Qaeda, ISIS fighters.
Yep. But one of them really pissed me off because one of them was my congressman, Michael Cloud, District 27. Of
I thought
Texas,
he was missing.
He's evidently showing up on the insurrectionist YouTube channels. He's the one that ditched his Twitter account on January 7th, saying "Follow me to Parler." He's hid everywhere else. He's tied up with all these insurrectionists. He's a right wing nut job, just certified whack ass. And man, 22, baby, we got to get rid of his ass. We really have to get rid of his ass. I'm tired of him being an embarrassment to my state, but to my district. This is my congressman. Kiss my ass, Michael Cloud. How's that shit? You disgusting turd.
Does he fit the Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Yes, yes, okay. He's right in the same group.
But he's not as bad as she is.
No, he doesn't. He's not out there spouting out about green lasers coming from space or anything.
Jewish
he's pretty
lasers,
much a dumbass who got elected in with Donnie. You know, with the, here we are, you know, it's attitude, yeah, America and freedom and all that shit, you know. He knows squat.
John, that's bluish Jewish space lasers to you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bluish Jewish space lasers, yes.
Hey, and thank
you. Watch out for that.
I know. Thank you, Ralphs. We are now down to only $72 to go for this evening.
Wow, Ralph, thank you very much, brother. We appreciate that.
Sister. Ralphs, thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much. Thank you so very kindly. So we got about an hour to go and $72, and we're done with the week, and that's awesome. Here's some stunning, well, no, not really. One of the fund, and you know this, you're down in oil and gas country, John Prideaux.
That's what we do, baby.
It's never a matter of when the pipeline explodes, or if the pipeline explodes. It's always a matter of when it explodes.
Yep.
And off the Mexican coast in the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, shit.
And you know, how revolting that they use Mayan language to name these damn things. The Kumalub-Zop Kusi satellite platform in the Campeche Sound. The pipeline near it done blowed up. About 150. Yeah, it's kind of like the gun stories, you know, where the gun just went off. The pipeline just blew up. About 150 meters from the platform, Pemex, the Mexican petroleum company that is somewhat privatized, I think now. They got it under control eventually, but and this is. This is what you get when the oil and gas industry gets to write the rules. And so it's not if, it's the when.
And the big question of where? It could be anywhere. It could be under your house.
And so you're not far from the Gulf of Mexico, John. So it's a big Gulf. And in fact, if you just look due south, you're probably looking right at the, if you could see that far over the horizon, you're looking right at the Gulf of Campeche and the Yucatan Peninsula.
Yes, directly down.
Well, the water off of the Yucatan Peninsula, the Gulf of Mexico off the Yucatan Peninsula, and thank you, Darlene, for sending this along, caught fire. The Gulf of Mexico caught fire.
Freaking wonderful.
You know, it's worth remembering, we got Earth Day in, what, 1970? After images of the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland on fire. Now, we've had 121-degree temperatures in British Columbia. And now this. I swear, sometimes I think Mother Nature is trying to get a message out.
That you would think, if we could just figure out what's causing this. I know it's something.
Because, you know, water doesn't ordinarily, you know, burn.
It, you know,
especially in the Gulf.
When we do what we do, Robin, you go digging into news and reports and this, that, and the other. And whenever an environmental issue comes up and you start digging in there to find out everything you can, it turns scary real quick. Where we are right now, in the tipping point scenario of our environment, we're just about fucking toast. If we don't do something soon, then yeah, and not in your lifetime, Robin, but our kids.
Have you heard of the concept loopback? When we hit the loopback part of global warming, then we're totally screwed because we have no control over it. We can't prevent anything. So it runs on its own.
Yeah. I think we're already there.
I think so, too. British Columbia is a good example.
Yes. Yes, this is not normal, what we've been seeing. You just keep wondering to yourself, just how long are we going to debate this issue before really you crack down on shit? The truth of the matter is, until we run out of freaking oil, because until then,
it was over 100 degrees in the Arctic Circle last summer.
First time in recorded
tens of
history.
Of years.
Yeah, and
tens
forest
of
fires.
Of years have been frozen.
Forest fires in Siberia started last summer too.
You start melting that permafrost, and all of that gas goes up into the atmosphere. Yeah, it doesn't look good for the future. It doesn't look good, and it is us. We're fleas on this planet. We don't.
Do you know, actually, it looks great for the Earth because it's getting rid of its parasites. Us. It'll still be here when we're gone.
Yeah. When we're gone.
Charles Baudelaire, the poet, had a great line: "Take me anywhere, anywhere, as long as it's off this planet."
Yeah.
And I think he had a lot. I mean, that's where we're reaching. You know, when the living envy the dead, we're screwed.
Hmm. We're not far from it, baby. You know, we're looking at heat waves so bad up in the northwest. We got the first hurricane now. Elsa is down in the Gulf, and she's going to start down south in the Leeward Islands. She's aiming right at Florida, they say. The water out there is going to get hot, and that's what stems these things to be monsters, and we're going to see more and more of them. The West out there with the droughts that they've had, forests are nothing but tinder. As you were saying a minute ago, you get lightning from the squirrel.
Yeah, lightning from the soot and the ash and the heat rising up from ground level. Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like the lightning over a volcano.
Right.
Yeah. Lee in New York points back. It may not be loop back. It's feedback loop.
Feedback loop.
Yeah, I think that's the term. And I mean, if you've ever left your monitors on at the same time that you hotted up your mic, you know what that sounds like. Let's see if I can. Yeah, there's a feedback loop.
I heard that.
And it'll begin to reverberate just bloop, bloop, and because it's looping back on itself over and over and over again. And that's what we're talking about with the climate, too. And if you hate it, audio, you're gonna despise it meteorologically and climatologically. By the way, got a note here. I gotta run the fundraising goal back up because Ralph's reminded me that was her portion of Bruce's challenge. I'd forgotten about that. So we're at 172, and let's do a little more math. Jack in Shreveport took us down to 147, and Mike in Cascadia said, "I got $25 if somebody else meets it." So that would get us down to 97 bucks.
$97.
Yeah. So there's $25 match on there from from Mike in Cascadia. Yep.
We need somebody to step up and match that $25.
Great. Thank you, Mike.
I know there's somebody out there listening right now that has that $25 just laying there. And you're thinking about getting your hamburger later or something. But, hey, what would be better, a hamburger now or Robin's voice to help protect the future? Now,
I know you are fortunate. You have things like Whataburger down there. And
we have Whataburger.
I love me some Whataburger. I don't know what it's like, but like, you know, with Five Guys, you can't take two people for a burger and fries to Five Guys for $25. It doesn't happen. It can't happen.
Oh shit. No, baby. It's expensive nowadays. Travis and his friends, he had friends come in from California, been here yesterday. They spent the day at the Texas State Aquarium and over at the Lexington. And then they went to one of my favorite places is Blackbeard's over on North Beach, which, is known for its seafood and everything. And sure enough, shit, you know, we're getting a text message from my son, and my wife says, "Oh, I bet you Travis ordered a burger." So I said, "Well, what'd y'all get?" And he wrote back, "Well, Tyler got the shrimp, Rose got the crab, and I got a burger." That's my boy.
Go to the beach and have a hamburger.
Burger. Are you shitting
two
me?
Two people, Robin. Yes. Well, I can't feed myself for $25 at Five Guys.
I mean, it's crazy.
The living in general, not only for fast food, go to the grocery store, baby. If you haven't noticed, things are going up.
Man, if it doesn't say manager special on it, I don't buy it.
Yeah, I'm looking for a coupon. You know, you got a coupon that goes with this or something. I get something free or, you know, a little money off here or something. Cut me some slack.
And what really hurts is when you try to do the healthy thing, it costs you more.
Well, you know, I did the healthy thing this evening. Mama said, and the thing was running late. I hadn't done my show yet. I got to get something on my stomach. She wanted a hamburger, so my son jumped in there to make her hamburger. I don't want to cook nothing, shit. So I sliced up some avocados, some tomato, and some cucumbers. A little bit of onion on the side. That's it.
That's beautiful.
Salt pepper. That is good. maybe feel, you know.
One of my favorite this time of year, a ripe avocado, a garden fresh tomato.
That's what I had.
Some cucumber and a sweet onion, sliced thin.
That's all you need.
And you hit it with some salt and pepper, a little lemon juice, some balsamic vinegar, and then the oil from the avocado will make a vinaigrette. You know, it'll make an emulsion, and you just toss it, and put it in the fridge, cover it up real good with plastic so the avocado doesn't turn brown. It's heavenly when it's cold.
Hey, there's joy in everything. Yeah, it's not all about the butt. Sometimes with just a little butt. You want a little some vegetables.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd give you a little more heart, Robin. We still got fiddleheads here. I had a pound of them last week.
Oh, you're killing me. God, I love fiddleheads.
Jeremy, what are those?
I don't
care. Yeah, I was waiting on somebody else. Fiddleheads.
What is it, Jeremy?
They're baby ferns. But they're a special kind. Not every fern does them. They usually grow along riverbeds. And when first come out and they're little tight balls, they have like a orangey gold film on them, which you boil off or peel off. And then they end up tasting like a little bit kind of a between spinach and I'm trying to think of another vegetable, but they're really good. You hit them with some butter, salt, pepper.
They're really rich, aren't they?
They're an acquired taste, but they're really good once you like them.
And they, you know, the reason they're called fiddleheads is they look like the head of the headstock of a violin.
Really? Oh. Yeah. See, where else are you going to learn this shit?
So, Robin,
not only entertainment, but education right here.
I just picked two fresh green squash out of my garden.
Oh, pretty.
That's the best way I should prepare them.
When you say green squash, what do you mean?
Like zucchini squash.
Oh, goodness. You can steam them? And, you know, there's nothing that's not made better by steaming it and then hitting it with salt and lemon juice.
Okay.
Slice them into rounds, you know, like silver dollar type slices, relatively thin but not super thin. Put some olive oil into a skillet. Slice up some garlic into really thin slices. Put the garlic into the olive oil. Turn on your burner and get the garlic to be translucent. And then when you throw the squash in, the olive oil should be warm enough for the zucchinis to just do a little bit of a sizzle and put a lid on it.
Okay.
And after about a minute, hold the lid down tight on the skillet and give it a good shake around and everything like that. And then put it on again and leave it for maybe another minute. And then take the lid off and bite one. And if they're hot and still crisp, they're done right.
Okay, Roger.
But, of course, you know, throw in some salt, you know, that kind of stuff. But a steam saute in olive oil and garlic is probably my favorite way to eat them.
Oh, and by the way, Dave number 11 just added a little bit of more detail regarding fiddleheads. They are also known as a bracken fern, B-R-A-C-K-E-N, a bracken fern.
Bracken.
But I think they're more of a temperate thing. I don't know if they grow down there where you are, John.
They grow Humboldt County all the way up here through Oregon.
Up Humboldt County, you got me. I'm there. Let's go.
Well, a lot of things grow good in Humboldt County.
They do.
But yes.
The bracken fern doesn't grow quite where Bernadette, I don't think they grow where Bernadette is. They're more of a coastal item.
If they do, I'm sure Bernadette has already picked a bunch.
John was thinking of other green things, not so much fiddleheads.
I'm a Humboldt County native. I know what John's talking about.
Are you shitting me? You live in Humboldt County?
I know you do, because you used to.
You do that just to piss me off, don't you?
No, I used to.
How this shit goes. Oh, used to. Where do you live now?
Oh, he wanted to be warm, so he moved to Portland. Or he moved to Oregon.
Oh, no, I'm not in Portland.
No, I meant Oregon.
No, you don't want to be in Portland.
Roger Manson.
Portland's all homeless.
Sparky has delivery. Are you shitting me? Delivery.
Yeah. Chocolate bars.
chocolate bars. Ain't that some shit?
I know.
I'm just saying.
She likes them, too.
It's not fair.
Oh, does she? That's wonderful.
I think we've got delivery here in Eugene, too, from the local commissaries.
See.
I don't know.
Sparky, just keep them away from Grady.
Well, they're in the refrigerator.
Okay, good.
Yeah, doggies don't do well with chocolate one way or the other.
Still have some?
My uncle has a story where he made some infused brownies and left them out to cool, and the dog got a hold of them. And she was high for a week.
Lucky dog.
Oh, man.
And pooping her guts out. Yeah, it wasn't pretty.
No, that's not pretty.
Well, we ain't got that here.
No. Hey, but I do know something you got in Texas, John.
What do we got?
You've got something called the Bullock Texas State History Museum.
Up in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And they had an RSV. They were going to have an RSVP event there. Because, I mean, anytime you say the word Alamo, people get all weepy in Texas, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're pretty sentimental about it. Yeah.
Yep. So, they had an event to promote a new book, and the name of the book was Forget the Alamo. It was published by Penguin Random House, and they were going to have this event there. I guess there was going to be a reading from it, you know, that sort of thing. You know, Texas Republicans got all butt hurt.
Oh,
and
got
they
panties in a wad, I bet.
And maiden forms were all the way up there. They was swatted.
Yeah.
They had 300 RSVPs for the event, and the problem with the book was that it actually told some historical truths about what led up.
Oh no!
To the Alamo.
Oh, you can't do that.
Because it's worth remembering that the reason Santa Ana rode north was because you had a bunch of people who enslaved other people, and they wanted to keep enslaving people. Yeah. And the Mexican government had abolished slavery.
They didn't get along with that. So that, yeah. Remember now, Texas being a slave state, you know, during the Civil War, but prior to.
Yeah, they entered the Union as a slave state. They were the Lone Star Republic as a slave republic.
Yep.
And so this book talked about those things. So lo and behold,
we can't have that,
that's part of critical race theory, John.
Yeah, that 1619 project, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
You don't want to be learning.
And so your lieutenant governor Dan Patrick, who is not the good Dan Patrick but the evil Dan Patrick, he demanded that the event be cancellated. And so he tweeted, and he was proud of it. He was proud of censoring history. As a member of the preservation board, I told staff to cancel this event as soon as I found out about it. This fact-free rewriting of Texas history has no place at the Bullock Museum.
Did he study history? I'm just wondering.
Yeah, no. No.
No. No, he didn't.
I'm pretty sure that in the 90s, we were taught that Santa Ana was a peg-legged pirate who Davy Crockett kicked his ass.
Well, Davy Crockett's the one that got his ass whipped.
Yeah, and died on his knees begging for his life, we now know.
Yes.
I still remember when John Wayne got it.
It's this cherry picking of history. The story is always
better than the truth. When the truth becomes, when the story becomes truth, print the story.
Yeah, what is that line? When the truth.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, when the story becomes the legend, print the legend.
Print the legend. It sounds better. Sort of like Paul Revere in The Midnight Ride.
Not quite so much. No, didn't happen that way.
No, it didn't. But it sounded good. So we adopted. We had to drop bombs on Japan to end World War II.
Not really.
No, Japan was going to surrender anyway.
Yeah, they were suing for peace as early as May.
Yeah. Yeah, we did it to keep the freaking Russians out of Indochina. That's what we did it for.
In defense of the lady that Dan Crenshaw went after for, you know, protesting basically the anthem, she specifically asked if it was going to be played. And he asked the obvious question of, wasn't the Boston Tea Party just the same thing, a protest? Yeah, but he leaves out the fact that it was white people pretending to be natives who we thought were savages, so it was fine.
That's right, Jeremy.
Exactly. And so now in Texas, John, you got something called the 1836 Project.
The 1836 Project? Oh, pray tell. I am not familiar with this, Robin.
They're going to come up with a curriculum that will give patriotic education to Texans.
Well, because they need it. They're probably going to get these what was their names? The Guardian Patriots and the United Constitutional Patriots in there, too, to teach the lessons. Are you shitting me? My state is in trouble, but it's not beyond saving. And the inspiration for that lies to the east of me in Georgia. Baby, we did it there. We could do it anywhere. Texas has come close to flipping this thing more than once. You know, we used to be blue, baby. And we need to make it again.
Robin,
it's suffering.
Give yourself a cowbell. We see what you did there with the curriculum.
Oh, well, okay. Thank you.
There you go. There
you go. Curriculum.
That's how come your show is important, Robin. That's why your voice is important. It's because we don't deal in
John,
bullshit.
It's 420. John, it's 420 in Portland.
Hold on. Hold on. Wait, Robin. Wait.
I got you. No.
Okay. What was I saying?
Smooth.
Oh, yeah. It's
here.
Your voice. Here. That's the most popular word spoke by. Yeah.
Yep.
Wait a minute. It's 10 minutes after 6.
No, in Portland, I said.
It's a trick. You made me do this. Why waste it? I mean, that good Kevin.
Virginia Burley.
It is Beer and Bud Friday, so.
Here.
We're taking upon both. My Dos Equis was cold. The Cavendish was very green and nice.
John, you keeping Jenny nice and cool?
I am indeed. Right. She's out in the front right now, grazing around in her little pasture out there.
Aww.
We have not had any problems with the neighbors. We see them down there preparing for their 4th of July holiday festive, and we're hoping that we make it through with no problems.
Oh, God. Okay. But the explosions will probably scare Jenny half to death.
Yes, she'll be under the house every 4th of July, New Year's, all that stuff. We bring her under the house, and she's got a pen down there. And yeah, we keep her in close because, yeah, she gets scared. And they'll be doing it right out here in the street in front of the house.
And, you know, now that I don't know how it is in Texas, but you can just about get weapons-grade aerial explosives at the fireworks tent.
They call it constitutional explosion. I don't know. Yeah, you can get some pretty powerful shit down here. We don't partake in the fireworks thing. We watch it. If we, you know, at the celebration down in Corpus, they have a display down there. We'll go down there and see that occasionally. But
yeah, I'm thinking Sunday night I'll go across the river to Fayetteville and watch theirs.
Most people with livestock don't really want to start setting off explosions. You know, it kind of makes everybody.
Well, yeah, I mean it's the very definition. I mean it's still written in the West Virginia Code this way, John. Worrying the livestock.
That's what it does. It worries my ass. And my ass doesn't like to get worried. So.
And like,
Robin, I think there's some hands up.
Oh, okay. I've been falling down on the job. Then I apologize for that most profoundly. Oh, John in Central PA. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm okay. I'm just driving home. Can you hear me, or am I cutting out?
No, you're there.
No, we can hear you.
Okay. All right. Well, just real quick, I just want to let everybody know about what the. And I don't mean to bring everybody down, but I think everybody should have a right. Everybody has a right to know about what Pennsylvania is doing with their election laws because it affects the presidential election. I don't know if anybody heard about this, but well, first of all, the state legislature has the power without the involvement of the government to propose amendments to our state constitution on the ballots. And they found out that when they do it on an off-year election, they can be pretty successful at it. And we got, you know, an off-year election coming up this November. And there's three proposals that they're putting on there, or they're talking about putting on there. And keep in mind, this past May, they stripped the governor of all of his emergency declaration powers with doing this, with amending the Constitution through ballot referendum. And no other referendum is legal, though, of course. It's only to change the Constitution. Like, they can't put a one to legalize marijuana because it's not legal. Our Constitution, ironically, says we can't do that. But it's really stupid. But, like, there's three of them. There's one of them's the voter ID law. Another one is to completely claw back our mail-in voting law that the Republicans championed in 2019. They are the ones who sponsored this. It passed the legislature, unanimously. Nobody voted against it. And now they're calling it back through a ballot referendum because of, you know, 2020. By the fraud, they say. And then the third one is, and this is in Pennsylvania, the third one is what keeps me up at night. And that is, they want to give the power to the legislature to overturn presidential election results.
Yep.
To overturn it. If one person objects, if one legislature objects, they can just do a vote, floor vote, and overturn the election results and slate their own electors. You know, so, I mean...
Yeah, because John, the Supreme Court told them they could do that. You know, the Supreme Court's not supposed to issue advisory opinions, but they couldn't help themselves at one point in time, and it's what's called dictum in a case. And they said, yeah, y'all can do that in the future. Sure, why not?
Yeah, and you know, that's why I remember back in 2016, people saying, I'm not going to vote for Hillary. I mean, you know, it's she's going to win anyway, or blah, 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 you know, and it's just...
I'm voting for Jill Stein.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's like, no, the Supreme Court really matters. I remember Sam Cedar had a dust-up with Jimmy Dore over it. Jimmy Dore kept saying, oh, no, it doesn't matter, or whatever, or no, that's not going to happen, or, I forget what it was, but, you know, and it's like, oh, he said, oh, they could just throw a buster in. That's what he said. That was his excuse. And Sam Cedar, you know, I think there is no filibuster one anymore, correct?
Right. Harry Reid got rid of during the Obama administration, Harry Reid got rid of the filibuster for lower court judges because he couldn't get any of Barack Obama's appointments through, and the judiciary system was suffering as a result. And so with him having done that, when chinless Moscow Mitch got hold of the reins of power again, he said, well, all right, then we'll just get rid of the filibuster for Supreme Court justices. Find me a couple of religious maniacs. Mitch McConnell is getting much too good.
Yeah, I know. It really is so, it pisses me off. But, I mean, but there's some positive stuff out there, though. There is, you know, I mean... I think that, but we still have a pretty good chance to hold on to the majorities, though. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, we have a good chance to lose it. We all have an equally good chance of holding on to it. So, yeah,
if
I mean,
people come out. If people come out, John, that's the whole key.
I think a lot of people, you know, like in Pennsylvania, the reason why we're like a purplish, bluish state on the statewide level is because we have all these cities, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Erie, Harrisburg, you know, Scranton, and then there's a bunch of small cities in between that, and that's why we're pretty, you know, almost blue on the statewide level, but but the localities are deeply red, deeply, deeply red, and that's our problem, there, you know, it's a little disconcerting there, but... I mean, other than that, though, I'm ready. I'm ready to fight these guys, and I watched that New York Times insurrection video that they put out, and holy
shit. Wasn't that awesome?
Yeah. Oh, it was. I couldn't believe it. Like, think about, man, think about what they, I have no words for it. I really don't. You know, I don't know what to say about it. I can't believe it. But one thing that did strike a chord with me, though, is how the authorities, the federal authorities, I forget what they, I think they said the Pentagon and others, you know, the Capitol Police Department, D.C. Police Department, they didn't think it was a threat. They thought that the threats of that happening were not credible. That's the word that they used, that they weren't the credible threats. And I'm getting a little sick and tired of people not seeing, basically being goddamn fools.
That's the word.
You know,
or not thinking, you know. Oh no, people. John, I'm sorry. I don't mean to run over you, but you know, white folks will shit their pants over aggrieved people of color in this country. But you get a million threats of an attack on the Capitol, and it's like, well, I mean, but those are white people. I mean, that's just all hot air. They'd never do that. They love their country.
Hey Robin.
It's a picture.
Yes, Parky.
Bernadette says she's got her hand raised, although it doesn't show up on Skype.
I don't know how to do that, so.
Okay, that's cool.
I've been listening, and I just want to say that, you know, black women in America are going to come to the rescue of this country one more fucking time, because
thank
regardless
you.
Of
amen.
White supremacy court, we're not going to allow our votes to be suppressed. We don't care about that shit. We're going to be there. So if anybody would like to come along and help save this fucking country again, come and join us.
Here, here.
I'm there.
Come and join
I'm
us.
There.
And you know what? We Bernadette, we put up with all this shit from my senior senator, Joe Manchin. And all we got to do is beat the likes of Rand Paul, and there is a strong progressive black man running for the nomination, the Democratic nomination in Kentucky. We get behind Charles Booker, shit can happen. We get behind Val Demings in Florida, shit can happen. Yes. And then replace a few of these goddamn Republicans. And we can stop worrying about Joe Manchin being the queen of the May.
Amen.
Thank you. But I will guarantee you that black women across America are going to be out representing our vote and demanding, regardless of the Supreme Court and their willingness to let these Republican legislatures across this country do this shit. I don't give a fuck about them anymore. This is about me. And I ain't going back. I don't give a shit.
Whatever hurdle they put up,
the
we
history
jump.
Of this country, we ain't going back.
Mm-hmm. Can't go
forward,
baby. We're going to fight like hell. I know I will. Not physically, but yeah, I mean. I think we should grow our lizard brains more.
But,
you know,
but that's the difference. We are dying in the streets for this shit. We are literally losing our lives in these streets. Whether it's from lack of housing, lack of funding, lack of
or lack of oxygen. There's lack of oxygen.
Yes, because let me tell you. I'm just below this heat wave going on out here on the West Coast. I, too, am in Northern California, but it seemed to have missed us this time. And I'm so sorry for my brothers and my sisters up north of me, okay? Because I just missed it. But when I go outside and it's 95, even 100 degrees, and it just feels hotter than that, okay? It just feels like I need sunblock 4000 put on. And I got melanin in my skin, and it burns me, okay? When I go out there and I can't breathe because it's too fucking hot, I have to come back inside. I have to do shit inside.
And Bernadette, you're always out in the garden.
I'm always... Look, dude, this year I rearranged my whole fucking garden just so I don't have to be out there. I set up self-watering systems. I got all kinds of new shit growing just because I knew I couldn't be out in the garden all day long, but I needed for my plants to survive. It's too fucking hot out there, even for black people. If I had to pick cotton, yeah, I'd quit. Shoot my motherfucking ass, okay?
Give her a cowbell. Heck, for that.
I'd camp out in here in the house from noon to 8 o'clock at night.
Thank you.
Who is Go Habs Go? They've had their hand raised for a while.
Oh, that's Steve in New York. Les Habitants, the nickname for the Montreal Canadiens hockey team.
Okay.
Go, Steve, go.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm putting on mute. I've been thinking about these laws that states are passing to quote unquote overturn the will of the people in these states. This is exposing another flaw, serious flaw, in our Constitution. Because if you read the Constitution, it says that the states have the power to choose the electors. And I think what stinks is repugnant as those laws may be, they're probably completely constitutional, number one. And number two, that's one of my worries about the For the People Act, is if it tries to mess with in any way the way the states choose their electors, that it's going to be problematic. I'm not saying not try. I'm not saying do whatever we can, but this is what happens when you are not a democracy and you were not set up to be a democracy. I mean, ponder this. Think about this, what I'm about to say. Let's go back to the original Constitution. You have a presidency that was not directly elected. You have a Senate that was not directly elected. And so you had one House that was directly elected. Yet, all of the judges, how do I say this? The judges, the only people who have power over the judges are the president. Was not popularly elected, could appoint, and the Senate, which was not popularly elected, could confirm.
Right.
So you basically have two branches, two entire branches that are not subject to the oversight, quote unquote, of the people. The only one that is only half popularly chosen. So what we're finding is that we aren't a democracy. We were never set up to be a democracy. And to make ourselves a democracy, it's going to take some real changes. And my biggest fear is that generally speaking, what the Republicans are doing by saying that the legislature can say, we're going to disregard the vote and choose the electors we want, there's nothing unconstitutional about that.
Well, that's what that dictum said. And I will take issue with one little particular point, Steve. And that is in the Federalist Papers and in the notes of the Constitutional Convention, I'm not sure which it is, but the notes on the ratification or the Federalist Papers. Somewhere along the way, James Madison says, look, we're not doing democracy. But whatever it is we do, we're going to call it democracy, and the rubes will fall for it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it being Independence Day weekend, and the 4th of July weekend, in addition, and it's a lengthy read, so probably not over the weekend, but maybe make a commitment to reading Charles Beard's An Economic Interpretation of the Constitution. it remains brilliant. We know it was brilliant because the minute it came out, people began attacking Charles Beard on an ad hominem basis and claiming, oh, this is bullshit. Oh, this is not American. Well, not really. In essence, he says that the Constitution, for all of its highfalutin language, was written primarily for one purpose. And history backs him up. Dr. Bill has talked about this so brilliantly. The Constitution of the United States was written for a couple of reasons. One, democracy was breaking out all over the country, and that was intolerable. And two, it was written to protect the wealth of the people who held the wealth. I mean, all the pernicious shit that's in the Constitution was put there in order to protect wealth, all the way down to the three-fifths clause, all the way down to the Electoral College, to the way the Senate was selected, to the fact that only property-owning white males could vote.
The Second Amendment.
Right, the Second Amendment. It was everything was with an eye toward protecting the wealth of the people who were creating this governmental framework. And I will jump in and say, with 19 minutes to go, we got $147 to go. We've got a $25 challenge on the table, courtesy of Mike in Cascadia. And it would be fantastic. I'll be back here on Monday evening, but it would be fantastic if come Monday evening we weren't at $447. We were just at our regular $300. That would be wonderful. So maybe 19 minutes or so, we can knock that out. But Steve, do you take any issue with what I said?
No, I think that's consistent with what I was saying. Maybe I was not articulate, but I'm not saying that to say to people, okay, see, we're not supposed to be a democracy, so give up and you know whatever.
Zeke Heil.
Yeah, whatever.
That's why one of the things that I've said just about more, I've said a lot of things a lot of times, but the one phrase that I came up with a long time ago, and it's mine, didn't get it from anybody, in the United States of America, democracy is far more aspirational than operational.
How does all this blend in with the fact that all money bills have to originate in the House? Could not the House simply defund the Supreme Court?
Yeah, they can.
The president would have to sign it.
The House can simply turn off the spigot. That's one of the things that they.
And that wouldn't require any action by the Senate or anybody else.
No, they just say, sorry, you're not getting it.
You're not getting funded. There's no money in the budget for the Supreme Court.
Yeah, but who's going to clean up Clarence's pukes?
Hold on a second. No, they can't just...
Steve.
Wait a minute. The Congress, the House would propose the law. The Senate would still have to vote on it.
No,
if the House refuses to act, it is not... If they just refuse to act, Supreme Court doesn't get a budget.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's... So it would have to be...
I mean, we dealt with a variation on that theme when Ted Cruz shut down the government.
Mm-hmm. We would have to let it run out.
Yeah. I mean, that could happen. But, you know, how come the House gets that? Well, you know, they split... They split some of the prerogatives between the House. You know, the House gets the purse. And that was... The House gets the purse because it's the most democratic... Of the branches. That is not to say that it is democratic. It is the most democratic of the branches, and the Senate got advise and consent and treaty confirmation, ratification. Just like the House gets impeachment and the Senate gets the trial.
There's another thing. It's the unelected senators who got to determine whether or not. So that was really not a check on, that was not the people being able to check the president.
Well, when it comes to appointments, no. It was the unelected senators.
I mean, I saw an interesting article, not an article, but I don't know where I saw it. But there was a case out of the, in the UK regarding Brexit. And basically the court said, and this was a real difference. The court said that basically the parliament was supreme and that nobody, or the House of Commons, nobody could overrule the House of Commons, and the House of Commons could overrule anything that it had done. So there is no, I mean, there is a judiciary, but there is no executive.
Right.
In the same way there is here. I mean, there are executive, quote, what they call executive departments, but they all stem from the majority party in the House of Commons. I frankly, I mean, if you, you know, put aside some things, I frankly think, I think the UK is probably, I have to think about it, probably right now, oddly, or maybe ironically, the most purely democratic country in the world. Certainly, well, let me just say in the Western world.
Yeah, if we offer up the caveat that sometimes democracy sucks. Remember, remember Plato despised it because they killed his teacher. Democracy killed Socrates.
Mm-hmm.
Just had a note from Tom in sunny San Rafael. The economic interpretation of the Constitution by Charles Beard. Tom says, I recently downloaded a copy, although I haven't started reading it yet. I was pleased to find it available for free. Tom says, I was fortunate way back in high school, I'm 65 now, to have a history teacher who used it for a text.
And you know what, Rob? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, please.
If you actually read it, there's nothing. I just don't find it controversial to say that. I mean, what? I don't.
Well, it's also not controversial to say that the most awful elements of the Constitution are there because of slavery. And I mean, because it's true. But still, that will butt hurt every white Republican in America, and they'll have a terrible sad, and they'll cry all over the place.
Yeah. Rather than saying, "Oh, really? Well, why don't we change it to make it to actually make it democratic?" They would rather, you know, piss and moan about how what you're saying is not really that. That red apple is really not a red apple.
Yeah, I mean, if you criticize the Constitution, well, this is what happens when notions of orthodoxy obtain in government. Now, like the idiots, you can't take out the Second Amendment. Well, yes, we can. That's why there is an amendments process.
Or you know what Jim Jeffries said?
That's exactly what.
Yeah, of course you can.
Of course you can.
Because it's an amendment.
You can amend the body. You can amend the amendments. You can amend till hell won't hold you. Oh, and by the way, and this is totally off topic, but just a little bit of time remaining, and I sure do hope we get that last 147. Actually, it's, well, not 42. The last 122, because the $25 will be doubled by Mike in Cascadia. I just got in a brand new statement by Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States of America. And I don't know if this is written. I don't know if this is written in the imperative case, or the imperative voice, or if it's just missing a pronoun. But
look forward to the big Sarasota, Florida rally tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Can be seen on Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, and Newsmuck.
The funniest part of that, though,
what a
teeny tiny little dick. What a needle dick thing. But the funniest part of that, John Brittivo, is that Republicans all over Florida begged him, please, dumbass.
Don't
do this.
Asking him, please don't do this shit. You know, there's a building right over here. Collapse. Got a whole bunch of dead people in here. This isn't a good time. Maybe we should real say, you know. But no, I'm going to take up donations for the relief efforts. Are you fucking shitting me?
And there won't be. Well, they won't get a. There won't be a god. That they'll be.
No, we're definitely raising money for the people who are in those.
Yeah,
you know,
they wouldn't have. All right.
It wouldn't have happened if they were living at Mar-a-Lago. They might have bed bugs, but it wouldn't happen.
They should be at Trump properties.
Yeah, just like when he raised money for the military.
Yeah, so that you know they'll pony up. They'll pony up, dumbasses that they are. I mean, they're maggots for fuck's sake.
Yes,
but and ain't none of it going nowhere. But you know,
his pocket. A mighty big cut.
Yeah,
actually, not his pocket, to his defense fund.
Jesus Christ!
There's no bottom to the depth here. Yeah.
No.
By the way, so on some at least good news is the way I see it. Two of the three starting outfielders in the National League All-Star game on the National League team are Reds.
Oh, how about that?
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bit of good news. Them Republicans are on the ball, baby. You think they're just standing around doing nothing shit? No. They want an inquiry. They're calling Britney Spears to fucking house. That's what the Republicans are after.
You are fucking kidding me.
No, the Republicans want Britney Spears to come testify in front of the House.
Oh God, I can't wait to hear Matt Gaetz squeal, "Leave Britney alone."
Yeah.
I mean, I feel sorry for the poor thing.
That was one of my "Are you shitting me's" on my show today.
But then again, remember. Remember Eric Cantor, who got his ass handed to him? He was the number two in the House under John Boehner, and he lost his primary.
Yes,
to a lunatic.
I remember.
He threw. Back in the day, we referred to him as Eric. Leave Britney alone, Cantor, because he tried to claim that going to a Britney Spears concert was a fundraiser.
It was a fundraiser. Leave Britney alone. She's had enough.
And but you knew that you know, because he was such a little neo-maxi-zoom dweeby, you knew that Eric Cantor was sitting there or standing there among the faithful, you know, singing, "Oops, I did it again." Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, shit.
Oh, you know what else is awful?
Toss out that damn case out of Washington State with the florist. Get out of here.
That was a beautiful thing. That was a beautiful thing.
It was a good thing.
And I'm telling you, this is, here's another. Yes, I know. Randy Radar just said squirrel. So I forget what store I was in the other day, and this tells you that you are old, because the music they play in stores is played for the older generation. And son of a gun, I'm walking around. I think it was Kroger's. And I hear something like, "What the fuck? That can't be." It was the Spice Girls.
Oh boy.
And like for the next 24 hours, it's stuck in my head.
You know what I want, what I really, really want.
What do you want? Do you really, really want?
If you want to be my lover.
What I really, really want.
Make it stop.
Okay, so you had that experience, and now you got to give it to us by singing.
Yes. All we got in common is our misery, Joe Keenihan used to say, and the least we can do is share it.
Yes, sure. Let me see what the fuck here.
Life is
do it.
Something.
Robin, anyway. Just means you still have to keep that tutu fucking put away.
I know. I keep my inner 14-year-old girl locked in a Barbie dream house in the basement. She doesn't get out very often.
You have the Spicoli button candy for dumbass Donnie.
Oh,
I can't wait for my rally in Sarasota.
What's that?
You dick!
There we go.
There we go.
But wait a second. I think the breaking news is you admitted she gets out, just not very often.
Yeah. Jesus.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, John.
Just for you.
I just need you to shut the fuck up. Nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch.
I live for that. Right back at you, John.
Thank you. I love my son.
Oh, I love that so much.
I got my slap button. My son fixed it all up for me.
Well, let me see here. What do we got?
Hey, you know what I got, Robin?
What?
An actual recording from a commercial on one of my freaking videos.
There's a certain strain of bacteria called Lactobacillus reuteri that will help you grow bigger balls.
And who doesn't need bigger balls?
Me!
I'm just saying. On my freaking show. Somebody wrote me a message. John, do you know what they're playing on your show? What? Something about bigger balls. So I went to go look.
There it was.
There it was. There it was. So.
Brought to you by AC/DC.
Oh, my God. See, there's a reason I'm not on YouTube. I don't think I could stand the dysphoria that would come from that.
You got to. It's fun. Are you shitting me? I'm way all over my, you know. I'm ugly as a mud fence. Who gives a shit anymore?
Well, so, tell me, John, do you get any hell from them for using the fun words?
No. No, are you shitting me? Ask Bernadette. What's nope. Bernadette's favorite, most famous saying?
Well, you know, I actually did steal it from over here. But
it's
Buck Trump.
It's Buck Trump. I'm sorry. We try to be not a family show, but, you know, we try to keep it semi-nice. But somewhere in the conversation, something's going to come out. Nice. There you go. What are you going to do?
Okay.
You know?
When we print up the Harriet Tubman $20 bills, that should be on there instead of In God We Trust. Fuck Trump.
Seems it became quite a thing over and on the side.
Well, remember?
Yeah, but you say that, and then you need a recording of, like, you know. Yeah, my melanoma voice saying, not me.
Not me. Not me.
Now we're fine.
I became the first blue dot trivia question.
Yes.
One blue dot wrote in and asked what's Bernadette's favorite saying. And boy, everybody did chime in.
Everybody knows what Bernadette's favorite saying.
Someone asked me last night on John's back porch what your take on the fun words was, Robin. I said, well, she's raised a Southern Baptist. She doesn't allow them. It's horrible.
It's terrible.
You filthy little liar. You're going to go to hell for that.
No. It's because, I clarified and told him it was a joke after because he is a Southern Baptist reformed himself. So it's a joke. That's all.
We love this cross-pollination shit, Robin.
Oh, yes, we do.
I'd love to see the blue dots come over here, and we love having the Horn family come visit. It spreads the word, keeps the message alive, baby.
Yep.
Come over here for the intelligent part and come over to my side.
Or, you know, come over here to take a little ride through the gutter. Yeah,
that's me. Are you shitting me? You know, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, what else have I got hiding over here? I got...
That's nice.
Not bad.
I don't have not bad. No, I have. What else do I have? I have a the old
violin.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I think I may have a sad trombone here.
Yeah.
Nope. Got a rim shot.
Hey, what's your flush sound like? Because mine sounds.
I don't have one of those.
Hey, got a flush?
I have a question.
All right. I'll give it to the pipes.
Still have most of Malloy's original music. Can he use it if you give it to him, or is he censored from it?
I don't think so. I don't think he's censored. I mean, it's just what I was given years ago, and I just use it for the intros and stuff.
Yeah, he uses stuff because I think he lost it in the whatever went on last year between him and the ex-wife. And he never uses it anymore because I don't think he has it.
What does he use for an opening?
I forget what it is, but it's like the middle music he doesn't use anymore. Like, he uses the Chicago Bulls theme for his middle music right now.
Wow.
I got lucky.
So yeah, a lot of your intros and stuff he doesn't have anymore. Maybe he'd be interested in having him back because I don't think he has access.
Yeah, I need to check in with him.
Yeah, just you
yeah,
know.
Jeremy, that opening theme of Malloy's you're talking about.
Yeah, it's totally different than
listen
what Robin
to it.
Has.
Listen to it. It's the symphonic version of Run Like Hell by Pink Floyd. That's
oh, yeah.
what it is.
Yeah, I think that's the London Symphony Orchestra. Let's see what this other one is. No.
I got this. I didn't mean it. That woman forced herself upon my... Stuff like that.
All right, let's see here.
That would be good with okay. Civil War, letters from
yeah,
the Civil War
from,
or whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, anytime
or,
I go
or
to...
letters from Matt Gaetz.
Yeah.
Or let's see, when the calls get hot and heavy.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh. I ain't got that. I got the regular clap, and then I got the boo, and then
let's
I
see,
got...
I got, the, I got this. I got and this.
Oh, I like that traffic jam. Hey, talking about traffic, I got this.
Hey, it's a, yeah.
Ooh, run over by a bus. Damn. Son of a gun.
Yeah, that? these are all the, like, studio drops for, you know, DJs. And like, let's see. Better.
Ain't it fun? I like my buttons. I have a set of buttons I can play with. Travis says, okay,
John.
Dad, you can play with these buttons.
John.
So, yes, dear?
You be careful with the buttons.
I know it.
Oh, half of my life
I'm
is half of my life is wrong button.
I'm restricted on my button usage, believe it. Travis says, don't
Robin,
touch anything. I
John
got
has set half of Texas down with his buttons.
The grid goes down, Bob.
Oh, that reminds me. I had a question earlier. Thank you, Darlene. Brother Deacon Asa told me we were buffering like wild, too. And must be because we were being mean to Republicans or something. I hate it when that happens.
Space laser.
Clayton wanted to know when we do prayer meeting Wednesday and we run this clip.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Wanted to know what that's from. That is the never to be replaced Peter Boyle in one of my favorite zany comedies of the 90s. That's from Dream Team.
Dream Team.
Oh, if you've never seen it, it's hilarious. Peter Boyle plays a guy who just lost his shit because he was an ad manager. And his morals got and his conscience got to him, and he got to where he just couldn't wear clothes. So wherever he was, he'd start taking his clothes off. It was wonderful.
I assume he was proud of it.
But to stop that man's clinically insane sounds an awful lot like Christopher Lloyd.
It is Christopher Lloyd.
Okay, I thought you were saying it's Peter Boyle. Okay.
No, Peter Boyle's the we're all naked in the eyes of the Lord. No, Christopher Lloyd is obsessive compulsive and tries to pretend he's one of the psychiatric staff, like this.
Straighten out that chair.
Imagine this. My chair is straight, and all the other chairs are out of order. Now, there's a real mind-bender for you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Christopher Lloyd, Peter Boyle, Michael Keaton. It's just brilliant. And crazy funny. Let's see, what else we got in here? We're kind of done with the program because
I'm out of buttons. I think I did all my buttons. That's it. That's all the buttons I got. My favorite button is, of course, because a lot of people need. We need to pass the he needed slapping law because there's a whole lot of people that need to be slapped.
Amen.
Well,
let's see.
I love my shut the fuck up. I could just answer that.
You know, it's no longer acceptable to use, but I used to just love this line, just the way it was delivered. But he turned out to be such an asshole, but still.
I rule.
Kevin Spacey. I rule. Just the way he delivered it. This one comes in handy from time to time.
Houston, we have a problem.
Oh, shit.
Hey, John, oh, that's can a you good play one.
Isn't that just handy as hell, John Ritavo?
That would be handy. Houston, we have a problem.
Could you play your shuck the fuck up bitch one more time? Because Bill Cosby was in talk with comedy clubs to go back on the circuit again. As of
yesterday. Oh, yeah. And he needs to,
I just need you to shut the fuck up, because nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. 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 Bow, bow, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
You know, I chair dance every time you play that, John. I chair dance.
I do.
One of the reasons we don't do video here, naked radio and chair dancing.
Who's to say I ain't naked right now?
Yeah, well, I am.
There you go.
Yeah, it's perfect naked radio weather. And this, of course, I just love this.
God darn it. You use your tongue prettier than a $20 whore.
Boy, that's pretty good. I got $20. Shit.
Oh, or another. Yeah, because, you know, you can't beat Blazing Saddles.
I need more buttons. That's what the problem is here.
I'll tell you my secret off air.
Excuse me while I whip this out. Excuse me.
I used to sit around and just, you know, clip out lines from movies.
That might come in handy at an appropriate time.
We got this, you'll know this, John. What? Wait, what?
That excuse me, I whipped this out. I'm just gonna let that one go. I'm gonna let it go.
Okay.
I'm going to hear it.
No, this is a classic.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
God, I love Strother Martin. What a genius he was.
I like that one from, I don't have it. I told Travis from, shit, what movie was it? I don't know, that real southern voice. That'll happen the day I start shooting silver dollars out of my butt.
Oh, what is that from? Well, I got this. This is good.
Them clothes got laundry numbers on them. You remember your number and always wear the ones that has your number. Any man forgets his number, spends a night in the box. These here spoons you keep with you. Any man loses his spoon, spends a night in the box. There's no playing grab ass or fighting in the building. You got a grudge against another man, you fight him Saturday afternoon. Any man playing grab ass or fighting in the building spends a night in the box. First bell is at 5 minutes of 8. When you go again, you go far. Last bell is at 8. Any man not in his bunk at 8 spends a night in the box. There's no smoking in the prone position in bed. To smoke, you must have both legs over the side of your bunk. Any man caught smoking in the prone position in bed spends a night in the box. You get 2 sheets every Saturday. You put the clean sheet in the top sheet in the bottom sheet you turn in the laundry boy. Any man turns in the wrong sheet spends a night in the box.
Which?
No one will sit in the bunks with dirty pants on. Any man with dirty pants on sitting on a bunk spends a night in the box. Any man don't bring back his empty pop bottle spends a night in the box. Any man loud talking spends a night in the box. I'm responsible for order in here. Any man don't keep order spends a night in the box.
That's some rules.
That's some damn rules. I don't want to go in the box. Shit, I'm changing my drawers and shifting my sheets around. Shit.
That's all Cool Hand Luke, right?
Yeah.
Get your eyeballs off my spoon.
Oh, let's see.
I need more buttons. That's all there is to it. I ain't got near
it. Another one of my... Some of these are just favorite movies of mine that just...
It was Little Horse, the boy who didn't want to fight the pony.
Don't you remember me? This hurts me in my heart. I think I'll cry.
He'd become a he-money, for which there ain't no English word. And he was a good un, too. Human beings thought a lot of him.
Little big man.
Yep. Always
see,
felt a certain kinship with Little Horse.
You could play a trivia game on here.
Oh, let's see.
Indeed.
Yeah, I need to get back to doing this. Oh my God. If Scott in San Diego is listening, he will come near spontaneously combusting with this one.
Everybody has to pay taxes. Even businessmen that rob and steal and cheat from people every day. Even they have to pay taxes.
Not anymore.
Not no more. No. That's an old movie there, ain't it?
It's a mad world.
Yeah, there you go. That's a long time ago. They fixed that problem.
But the one I need from that, though, is, but not you, lady. I hope you drop dead.
Oh, I love that line.
Well, I got to get out of here. We're still waiting on somebody to match Mike and Cascadia's $25.
Somebody jump in there and jump. And then
waiting for the other, what was it, 90? Oh, is it, 90, 97.
You've already had a taste of some of the finest entertainment you're going to find anywhere on the radio dial. Anywhere. Such entertainment, such information. Education, reverberation, what other shuns we
got? Edumacation.
Lots of shuns. Education, yeah.
And
there
a shiny, hiney to boot.
And shiny, hiney to boot.
And Alabama sex.
All of that.
Don't leave out the Alabama sex clams.
And there you go. Where are you going to find all of that in one spot, one voice?
That headline, Sex Clams Royal Alabama Republicans. Well, of course they do. I mean, you know. By the way, on the way out the door, I got a note from Robert in Australia. COVID-19 proof, maybe. I had my second AstraZeneca shot yesterday afternoon, Robert says, about 20 hours ago. Nothing weird's happened since. You mean you haven't grown antlers, Robert? That's what we worry about here in West Virginia. I can promise you in no way, shape, form, or fashion are you going to grow antlers if you get your jab. So depending on who you believe, either 2% or 8% of Australians have had both doses. And I say that because the health minister is quoting 20% of Australians having been vaccinated. And it appears it's 20% of Australians have had their first dose, not both, so not really vaccinated. And you are correct, Robin. Pfizer is two doses. Robert in Australia, Robert in Oz, still in isolation. Just because. Because it might be a good idea.
Well,
so,
you got to be careful. You got to be careful walking by the refrigerator, or you could stick to it.
Yeah, because you do become magnetic. Yes.
Yeah.
Things will be jumping off the floor and sticking to you all over the place.
And there's breaking news that a massive ransomware attack has hit for just in time for Independence Day. God, I wonder who would do something like that. Maybe Mother Russia. But IT staff are going to have a shitty little weekend. NBC News is reporting a successful ransomware attack on a single company has spread to at least 200 organizations, according to cybersecurity firm Huntress Labs, making it one of the single largest criminal ransomware sprees in history. It was believed to be affiliated with Reval and perpetuated through Kaseya, an international company that remotely controls programs for companies that in turn manage internet services for businesses. Well, this will be fun. I wonder if it's going to be a pipeline or... Yeah. Egg damn exactly, John Bredevo. So, on that happy note, we will wrap things up for the week. And I will wish everyone a happy Independence Day holiday. Thanks, everybody, for jumping in on the front porch. We had a lot of fun this evening, and I like it when we do that.
I enjoyed it.
It's kind of a... kind of a steam release, if you will. And let's see. Yes, indeed. Fun was had, indeed. Thanks for getting all the fun started to Brother Bishop Skeeve in Georgistan. And thanks to... Yes, Parky.
Asa, just keep the same link up for Monday.
Okay, yeah, just we will do more and Monday on the front porch on Monday.
And I wanted to say I'm sorry for correcting you the other day.
How so? How was I incorrect? What did you do?
Well, you mentioned SR-71.
Oh, hell, I thought it was. I'm glad to be disabused of my ignorance. I'm always happy for
that. My spiny senses get activated when somebody says SR-71.
Oh, I know. I know. And what was it again? The A, what?
A-12.
The A-12. Okay. Okay.
It's not the same airplane. It's smaller.
Okay.
And it doesn't, it's lighter.
And it had windmills.
He's gonna hit. Jeremy, he's gonna hit you.
I'm telling you, get the stick out.
I'll bring out the lightsaber.
There you go.
And by the way, Friday on the Back Porch will continue after this broadcast goes off the air. So if you don't like being heard on the radio or something, just feel free to jump in. I look forward to more in Monday on the Front Porch. Thanks to each and every one of you who keeps this program on the air through your kind contributions via PayPal and Patreon subscriptions. Thank you so much to our a la carte contributors. And be thinking about the Hornet. I think it's going to be fantastic. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. And it would be great if we could get started on that over at GoFundBob.com. What else? Well, of course, thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky, occupying the seat of honor around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head-on.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is at headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. If you haven't gotten your vaccine already, please get your vaccine. If you got one dose, make sure you get the second. If there are people in your household or friends or anyone that you don't know that hasn't gotten it, please encourage them to get it. We'd like for them to survive this stupid, avoidable pandemic. Meantime, use your first line defenses. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer wherever you go. Keep it with you at all times. Maintain your social distance if you're around folks who might not be vaccinated. And wear your mask when it's appropriate in similar circumstances. And for God's sakes, if somebody, anybody, walks up to you talking about how we ain't going to be telling no real history about no damned Alamo, avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. Have a great Independence Day weekend, everybody. Later.